What's poppin'? It's the Drew and Mike show for Tuesday. Trudy's here.
Yeah.
Mark, Brandon, Zooves, and tough few days for the rock and roll world as Rick Ocasek found dead of, they said natural causes. I don't know if they're going to find anything else. I don't think he was a big drug guy. I don't believe he was. No.
Ocasek? I don't think so.
No, no.
I mean, maybe in the 80s because everyone was.
In fact, yeah, could well be. Oh. I mean, I can't believe drugs never entered the cars.
Yeah. I mean, he's, what is he, 75? Is that what he was?
Yeah. I mean, people thought he was 70.
Yeah, he lied about his age, but he lied 5 years about his age?
You know what's interesting?
Wow, that's cool.
When that first Cars album came out, which was seminal, by the way. Yeah. Oh, my God, was that a great record.
Dio.
What? That might be my favorite debut record of all time.
It is, yeah.
He would have been 32 years old then.
I know.
And he'd been knocking around Cleveland for a long time with Ben Orr. And they played Columbus. They played Ohio State. And then they moved to Boston. They put on an album by a band named, they were called Milkwood at the time.
Ugh.
And it was a CSN-like sounding. It's really bizarre to listen to. I listened to it last night.
That's why he lied about his age?
I'm not sure what exactly was going on with the age.
I'm very proud to say we caught him.
Lying about his age.
I think he just wanted to make it, and so he shaved years as it got...
Sure.
I mean, as you close in on 30, a good record deal is pretty unlikely. But they added Elliot Easton, the lefty lead guitarist, and were Captain Swing, and that's when Maxine Sartori was playing them on WBCN Boston.
Ooh.
And they thanked Maxine at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is really cool. But
that's a cool name, by the way.
Captain Swing became the Cars, and David Robinson came from the Modern Lovers, who that was that was a hot thing for a few minutes. And Greg Hawks had played, I think, with Milkwood. He came back, and Benjamin Orr moved over to bass. Ben Orr, by the way, what an underrated singer he was. He sang Drive.
Yeah.
And Just What I Needed. God, that first record. Oh, my God, that first record was just so good. Those were college years, so those were like soundtracks. Candio and the first album, just the Cars.
Right.
But the way that thing opened up with, Just What I Needed was the first track into Best Friend's Girl, into Let the Good Times Roll.
Yeah, let's...
I know it's those three songs.
Back then, I would have said let the good times roll, but like Moving Through Stereo.
Oh, that's
maybe
a great song.
Evolved as my all time favorite Cars. Cars.
Well, that's from the Fast Times at Ridgemont High scene too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was probably influenced by that.
I'm sorry. Good Times Roll opens the album My Best Friend's Girl, Just What I Needed.
Yeah.
And I always loved You're All I've Got Tonight, Bye Bye Love. Moving in Stereo was great. All Mixed Up. A lot of those tracks got airplay. And then,
what was that deep cut you were playing for me the other night?
Since You're Gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from Heartbeat City. That might be my favorite Car song, actually.
Cars song.
Cars. And then the second album was with Let's Go, which was a top 20 hit. I love that song. Double Life is one of my favorite Car songs. Candio. Dangerous Type. But they just came out swinging. Those first two albums were fantastic. That first one. And the kind of the Roxy music, the art on the front with the girl behind the wheel and then the...
Yeah. They were the very first... One of the first power pop bands. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Being an expert in the
definitely.
Field.
And New Wave at the same time.
Right.
I want to say they're one of the first new wave bands that really were gigantic.
Yeah, they fit a lot of bills. They really did.
So, yeah, Rick Ocasek. That is weird. And he was in studio with us once.
What? He was?
Yes.
No. Trying to nail down what year. We can't even nail down what year it was.
No, it was in the old studio. It was a long time ago.
I'm saying end of 97.
Wow, it was that long ago?
I think so. Well, he had a solo album out then. He never wrote a book. The Cars didn't tour. He didn't really tour solo, so I don't know what else he would have been coming in for.
Yeah, that would have been it.
Really nice guy.
Yeah, I've got Dan is searching high and low for it.
Yeah.
Without any luck.
Did you see Maz's response to your tweet about his passing?
I did not.
Okay.
Let me find it. What was his response? Meanwhile, I'll mention that we are brought to you by, on Facebook Live, Grow Green MI, who's hosting a totally free Growers Night this Thursday at 7 p.m. Let's go! Free dinner, free drinks, free presentations from industry leaders, including Science LED, BioBest Beneficial Insects, Heavy 16, and Twister Trimmers, who'll be doing a live demo. Yeah, with their B4 Bucker and T-Series of trimmers. If you grow or want to start growing cannabis, this is a must-attend free event this Thursday, 7 to 9, at Grow Green MI. Click growgreenmi.com.
So you included the link to page 6 and wrote, you know, frontman Rick Ocasek found dead in Manhattan. Oh, geez. We'll always love the Cars, R.I.P. Tom responded by, at least he married a supermodel. R.I.P. Rick.
Oh, man.
Is that helping him in death? By the way, they were getting divorced when
he died. She found him.
Yeah, she did find him. Paulina
Pro. I know.
Yeah. What does this emoji mean? Does that mean Tom does not approve of him marrying a supermodel or think she was out of his league? So here's some replies to Tom's tweet. Not your best tweet. Brian Duarden, bloop. He just wrote bloop. Chuck wrote, I'm sure that's of great comfort right now. She's the best friend's girl. Oh, Tommy, what are you doing?
Lance on Facebook Live says any official type of cause of death, and he mentions some irresponsible speculation online. Have you guys seen it at all?
No.
Yeah, I think I've read some of it.
What?
Suicide.
Why? Was he sick?
I don't know. I don't think so. I did catch a brief, there was just a little string going suggesting suicide. I don't know why.
Everyone's saying natural causes, though.
You know what this might have something to do with is Billy Idol had a tweet saying, you know, love Rick Ocasek, love the music, hashtag suicide. Well, Suicide was a band he produced, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Somebody got that wrong.
Are you saying Billy Idol murdered Rick Ocasek?
I know. Isn't that stupid? But I bet you that's why that's going around. I'm not saying he didn't. I don't know how he died.
That's a good theory.
Yeah.
Because
when I saw that,
inflated it.
I thought, why is Billy Idol spreading that rumor?
So that's not where I thought you were going. I thought you were setting me up for
hold on to your dick!
but no.
Died in a car crash.
Instead, I'm like, oh, crap. Suicide. But you're right. Because of the band, it seems to be kind of trending together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, silly.
Well, Billy Idol wins then, huh?
I know. How strange. And I was like, wait, no, Billy Idol, there's no way he'd be saying hashtag suicide. That's just not a good hashtag.
Wow.
And I made the connection, fortunately. But
Drew, you're brilliant.
I got a little. Well, I was digging deep on Rick Ocasek. I love the Cars. Really love the Cars. God, it's a great band. And that's the one thing about, you know, when a guy in a band dies, is that we all celebrate the music for a couple weeks or for a month, and they go up on this charts, and that's kind of nice, at least.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure.
It's not a race car. Car.
Oh, how's everybody doing with my bookie? I saw someone emailed me that did not double their paycheck, sorry to say.
That's insane. Well, he only has himself to blame.
Hey, Mark had a big bet.
Oh, my first quarter bet. It was very exciting yesterday.
Yeah, that was.
You gotta admit.
That was
first
exciting.
First one, he actually took my advice and you won.
No.
Welcome.
What are you talking?
What is it with you two?
What do you mean? Why don't you make the bet then? I've been betting.
Because it's Drew's account. I don't want to do that on Drew's account.
You have your own. Or if you don't, you can sign up / Drew.
I don't understand. Why are you so married to my account
because
when you have your own account?
Other people's money.
Because when I go to mybookie.com, your account is already logged in.
Laziness?
It's so hard to log out.
If I log out of yours, I might not remember your password, so I'm doing you a favor.
Well, that roulette wheel adventure sounded a little bit wacky. I don't think it would have happened on your account.
That only lasted 5 minutes.
So I want to know if your marathon hat is from your up north days.
Oh, no. No, it's not. I do like... Thank you. I have a lot of these. These are my favorite hats.
It's very fashionable.
Thanks.
True. With the logo on the website.
High fashion.
We need one of those. Yeah. Logo in one side.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. That has been mentioned before.
My bookie has better bonuses, more prop bets than any other sports book, period. And in fact, you bet, you win, they pay. They've got live in-game betting on every NFL game. Mark bet in the first quarter. He didn't want to watch the whole game.
I gotta tell you, that was the main reason, because who has that much time to watch
the whole
game?
I think it's great.
It's a great game, by the way.
That's something about the Super Bowl prop bets, even though I know they're not always the best bets. It's just fun to have action on virtually every play.
But it's so stupid, because we're watching it, and the first quarter's winding down. I'm like, oh, great, Philadelphia's driving. They're going to score here, because I had Atlanta just even.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized, oh, wait. They're in no hurry to score here. They have another quarter. I don't. They do.
That's what's so weird about it is
their world.
Their
not
goals
mine.
Are not in sync with your bet.
which is asinine to think they ever would.
I know. Well, if you're betting on them to win, they are. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can even bet over under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game, up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit, then start doubling your paychecks. MyBookie, MyBookie, and it is promo code Drew, DREW. I'm surprised how many people email and ask for the promo code, but there it is, Drew. So there. And Gary Graff is coming up.
Oh, wow.
To talk about Rick Ocasek. God, second day in a row for Gary as our rock stars are dropping like flies.
I know.
You have the time.
First, it's Eddie Money, Rick Ocasek. I don't know why that one really hurt.
David Lee Roth now, of course, throwing around some rumor. And you know how he talks? Like a stream?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It just comes out of his mouth.
I know, it's ridiculous.
And his thing was that he thought the reason why they didn't go out on a Van Halen tour is because Eddie is sick again.
Oh, he said that?
Van Halen, yeah. He intimated that, and it got picked up and kicked around a bit. But there's no response from the Van Halen brothers. But we should ask Gary about that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Trudy.
Yeah.
Wow, where did Roth say that on his podcast? The Roth Report.
No, it was
wherever someone was listening. Because he'll just talk to anybody,
right? Probably on a corner.
Yes.
Crossing the street.
Who knows?
I want to point out another great hand clap song.
Oh, you're right. I like the vibrato kind of a thing. There's a new
boy that you
meet. Hey, Gary.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right. All right.
Sorry we have to meet like this for the second day in a row to talk about one of our heroes' deaths.
Unfortunately, this is, as we've talked about before, this is where we're at. You know, this is, these people are getting older.
Man.
Yeah. This one hurts, I got
to
say.
Yeah, they all, you know, listen to the last two, you know, when you talk about Rick Ocasek and then Eddie Money. You know, like we spoke about with Eddie Money, there was he was part of the fabric, you know, and the same thing with the Cards. Think about how many songs we know. Think about how many songs are part of our day to day.
Wait.
And that's, you know, that's a profound loss.
Have I been mispronouncing his name my whole life? Is it Ocasek?
You know, this is funny. Well, this is funny. I thought it was Ocasek for most of my life.
I've always thought Ocasek.
And then at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last year, it was all Ocasek.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, what does he call himself, or what did he call himself?
That's a great name. You know, it's funny because he called himself Rick. I mean,
you know, what was, and that his real name was Ocasek, I believe?
Right, yeah, it had a T in the name.
I wish we could find our studio interview with Rick, because he was so nice. He was a great guest. We talked about songs and what they were about, and I thought, wow, I never dreamed he would, you know, really indulge in this.
Smart guy, that Rick.
The funniest thing, though, was that when he left, he asked for a T-shirt. Now, if I was ever going to be shocked by someone asking for a radio station T-shirt, it was Rick Ocasek. I never saw that one coming.
But this guy was a rock guy. You know, he was a fan. It's funny you said that. I was speaking with Rich Cole from the Romantics today, because he did a nice post. It's not that big.
But he did
You have the resources to be able to connect with him on you know. Yeah.
But he was talking about how much a fan of music Rick was, and how he loved that he was making music and that he was part of the scene. And he said they talked about lots of other bands, and it really struck him how into music in general Rick was. So it doesn't surprise me to hear that, this is a guy who wanted a cool radio station T-shirt.
Yeah, it still just completely threw me. He just wasn't, you think of him as being so weird when you see him, and his voice is very spooky and otherworldly, but he really was a super friendly guy in person, at least he was to us. And I can't get over that. The first two albums, the first one, you know, the way it comes out with Good Times Roll, My Best Friend's Girl, and Just What I Needed. I mean, how many first albums have rolled out with three gems like that?
And they very fit, few. And, yeah. then you think about the B-side of that album in vinyl. And it's like everything's amazing.
Bye Bye Love.
Bye Bye Love. Well, the one before, Bye, You're All I've Got Tonight. Bye Bye Love. Moving in Stereo. And what do you call it? The last song.
All Mixed Up.
All Mixed Up. Yeah. that one.
And then I thought Candio was a great follow-up. I think it wasn't critiqued as well, but I loved Candio, and I thought it came off to a flying start with Let's Go, and Double Life I particularly like, but the two songs in between are really good, too. It's All I Can Do, and there's another one in there, but, God, those first two are just fantastic.
No, It's All I Can Do is one of my favorite Cars songs, I think. You know, just a great, great, really cool song.
And did Rick write that and Ben Orr sang it?
I think so. I'd have to, you know, I'm not in front of my album credits right now. So, you know, it's just a great tune.
Yeah,
and a different, so different. That was the thing about the Cars is everything they did was so, so different.
Yeah, Drive, their biggest hit. Who would have thought Drive would come out of the Cars?
Right, right. But they were versatile. They were unique. There was a lot of different stuff. You know, that Panorama album, not one of my favorite albums, but here's a band that had a hit formula of sorts, and they turned it on its ear for the next album. And how cool is that to do?
What were they doing on Panorama? Because I appreciated Panorama like you, but it was not my favorite Cars album. I loved the song Touch and Go for some reason. But
right, there were a couple of those. It was just a little edgier. The arrangements were a little more, you know, odd. You know, it was a little more odd. They were playing with different time signatures. They were playing with different production techniques. This was their equivalent of when the B-52s did Mesopotamia. You know, this was their piece of art. Whereas before they were making art, but this was their attempt to be willfully arty.
And Heartbeat City, I believe isn't Since You're Gone the first song on that record?
No, that's on. Since You're Gone is on Shake It Up.
Shake It Up. I'm sorry. Shake It Up.
Yeah.
Since You're Gone, I think, is my favorite Cars song. And I in my head, I think, God, the Cars must be a great band, because I have to really fight to come up with what is my favorite Cars song. I like many, so much.
There's a lot of them.
But
you have that kind of snobby thing, too. Oh, I don't want to say Just What I Needed. But that's a great freaking song.
It is.
You know?
It really
Nobody
is.
Nobody can fault you if that's your favorite Cars song.
Yeah,
so, you know, and that's a good point that, you know, there are so many of these songs, even the ones that weren't hits, that stick with you. That it's, you know, it's really a testament to how great a band they were.
He also produced quite a few other bands among them.
Yeah, Weezer and the Bad Brains and, you know, a number of others.
The Bad Brains, by the way, what a cool band to produce. I don't think he chose them based on, you know, record sale potential necessarily.
Oh, no. When it came to producing, he just did stuff, the music he wanted to do.
Yeah.
There it is, Since You're Gone.
Played this today. It's my deep cut.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really? WLLC. The Cars.
Sounded good.
Moonlight Ain't So Great. Since You're Gone, baby. George Will.
Stretching it out.
Whoa, Drew. Seems like you might miss it.
The Car.
It's a little longer.
I was looking
over
Time and Temp, that intro there.
I think it goes into Shake It Up as the second track on the record, too. But, you know, they really had their biggest success in the 80s with the videos. And, you know, Drive was their biggest hit. And was it Magic? And
Magic.
Shake
and,
It Up.
You Won't Think, You Don't Think.
Oh, You Might Think.
The one with the fly, You Might Think.
Yeah, and they won Video of the Year, the first year of the MTV Awards, and I think those are really their sort of their popular years, but for me, it's the first two albums all the way. But I think it is.
I think that still is the greatest, where their greatest success is. I mean, yeah, that was the Heartbeat City was the MTV years, But they really established themselves as a great music band in 1978-79.
Hey, Gary, didn't you interview him last year in Cleveland? Wasn't it?
As such as it was, that was one of those drive-by interviews. The other guys were much more accessible. Rick was a little more. Yeah, but this was, then they come out the week later with him and Paulina doing their conscious uncoupling or whatever it was.
Yeah, I know. By the way, her quotes about them splitting up were the most obnoxious quotes, Gwyneth Paltrow.
I know. Right? It was like, well, I felt like she took it from that, the conscious uncoupling playbook.
Yes, right. I would agree. And she did find him. And we don't know. Gary, did you know him to be in any kind of bad health?
Not really, but he was 75 years old. So who knows what could be going on when you're 55 years old, who knows what's going on? He was 75 and I would expect it is natural causes, but we'll find out, I'm sure we'll find out, but you had not heard anything about him being in ill health. You just didn't see him very much.
True.
I mean, you hadn't seen him very much before the Rock Hall induction either.
Yeah, he's really been off the scene. I did see some pictures of him at Miami Beach that were, I think, a few weeks old with his 21-year-old son, Oliver. And, he looked like Rick Ocasek. His hair was dark, long. He had sunglasses on. And he's wearing long pants and a long-sleeve shirt.
I was going to say, thank God, not in a Speedo.
No. On the beach in Miami, though, long sleeves and long pants.
Yeah, well, that seems like him, too.
Absolutely.
He has a history. He has a Michigan history. He and Ben Orr were in Ann Arbor during the early 70s trying to be folk singers.
Yeah.
And then he's
a Bowling Green graduate.
Hey.
Right.
Not graduate.
Yeah, so he has a lot of history in the Midwest. They, they spent time, of course, Ben's from Cleveland, and they spent time in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
So there was an attachment to this area.
I listened to Milkwood last night, and I'm like, wow, this is so different from the Cars, that sort of CSN, the big choral sound.
Right.
And it was really strange, but I think it sort of shows more versatility than anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was, again, this was a guy who was a real musician. He wasn't just new wave geeky person. He was a real musician and, if you will, a pop auteur because of how, dynamic and experimental his production and songwriting style was.
Great sound. Trudy, now you heard something today from David Lee Roth, which is well worth digging into.
You probably saw this, Gary, that he had an interview, I think it was Eddie Trunk, maybe, and that he discussed the reason why he was doing the House of Blues thing solo is because the Van Halen tour didn't work out, and that didn't work out. He suggested because of Eddie's health.
Health, right. And, we've heard this a lot over the years. And I know people who have been brought in to try to do songwriting with Eddie who have all said much the same thing. Ooh. But, we don't know I don't know that if we're putting Eddie next on the list, if he's going to be number three here, I'd hate to do that. But there's definitely a health issue there. And listen, there was before they did the reunion with Sammy. There were health issues as well.
Right, but it seemed as though he had recovered from something that sounded so horrible that,
they had to tongue the mouth,
his tongue out, yeah.
Yeah.
And that he was fine, and he was
as near as you can tell, it kind of comes and goes there. And you only hope for the best. I would love to see some sort of Van Halen show one more time. The problem with this was the last time we saw Van Halen, Eddie sounded good, Alex sounded good, even Wolfie sounded good, but we'd rather have had Michael, and the weak link was David.
Right,
So who knows what Vegas is going to be like.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I thought I heard something about Sammy semi or in a way wanting to do something with Van Halen, but not without Michael Anthony, and I don't know if that's what is. So that's what nixed it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, that is it. And then there were those rumors that there was going to be an original Van Halen reunion until they asked Michael Anthony, and he said, well, I haven't heard anything about it.
God, they're so sensitive. Jeez.
I know they are.
They are. Anyway, I'm afraid I have.
We're already done. We're already done.
Insulting.
We absolutely had to leave before you, but you were still talking, so I was going to let you finish.
Okay.
What's your premiere, Gary? Quickly, because we're in a hurry.
Downton Abbey.
Okay.
Oh, Tommy Abbey.
But before you're about to sit on me, I am taking a 94-year-old neighbor who's a huge fan and doesn't get out. Well, you know, this is going to be a very special day.
All right, Gary, have fun.
Nice.
All right, you guys take care.
Thank you. Bye. See you. All right, Gary Graff.
Gary knows how to hang, doesn't he?
Yes.
I think he kind of wants to see Downton Abbey, too.
Really?
I think that's covered. Hey, the show's a good show.
No.
It was a good show.
Have you
seen it?
No.
Well, then, what do you know?
Oh, I don't know. It just sounds too provincial.
If you superglued my genitalia to a cannonball and fired it through the front door of this theater, you couldn't get me to see a second of that.
Tim Coe and I used to talk about it all the time because he watched it and liked it, too.
Did he? Yeah. Oh,
Jay was over here the other day.
The most unlikely people. Oh.
Yeah, Jay got me a rubber sole bus. Which,
is that what that was?
I didn't know. There was a rubber sole bus, but I didn't care.
You stopped by to drop gifts off?
He did.
Was he mad?
At Penny Lane in Springfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's from Illinois. So they got
some cool
store there.
You know, I went
to Super Soakers. We have stink bombs.
But I went to Mackinac Island with Dee and Tracy and a couple other people. I kept doing the thing. I couldn't help myself because that whole place is so stuffy.
It's very stuffy.
The Grand Hotel, and people are walking around, and I was like, oh, look out here.
Did you know Brandon once stayed in the suite at the Grand Hotel?
I got hooked up. Yeah.
The suite.
Who'd you know?
I want to say we went for Halloween because they have some big Halloween pub crawl thing.
Sounds like a blast.
I can't imagine.
So on our way down there, my truck breaks down.
Lots of fudge.
It's a whole case just getting there. But we finally get there, and we check in late because of my truck, because it blew up on me. And they said, you know what, we're out of rooms, but you guys already booked, so we're going to put you in the suite. And it's own separate building behind it, and it's really nice. And there was just like five of us, and it was really cool.
I'm sure you
treated
it with the respect it was due.
No, well, I ended up drinking all the... I got so wasted, oh my God.
Hasselhoffed?
Well, that's the story where I blacked out, and nobody could find me for like 3 hours. And then they found me at like 5 a.m., leaning up on a light post. Just hanging out. Just, hey, guys.
We're still vertical.
And so we went back to that suite, and I drank like all the beer that was in that mini fridge. And those mini fridge beers...
after they couldn't find you?
Yeah, those mini fridge beers are like 12 bucks a beer.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't on my card. So
brutal. I'll be fine. Yeah.
You had to celebrate being found. That's huge. That's always huge.
Bad night.
Our friends and original sponsor, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, have launched their Jeep Adventure Days, and you better believe it's as exciting as it sounds. During Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for, like a 19 Jeep Compass Limited, as low as $166 a month. Or maybe the Mac Daddy. You can lease a new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month. Our friends at Zot have one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means a lot of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. Finally, we know you can't get through a Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram read without mentioning, yes, Ram trucks. Lease a 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $145 a month. And yes, Zot has a ton of Rams to choose from also. See details in their massive inventory at dealsind.com. And don't miss the next commercial if you'd like to have dinner with the show.
Okay,
October 11th. There, I'm teasing a commercial.
Sounds delicious.
And Dr. Yaldo, of course, we're still working on the C-off between, because I'm not sure, have we run the C-off by Eli?
I keep forgetting.
Is he avoiding us?
Is he trying? He hasn't mentioned it to us. So.
Trying to ghost the C-off?
Seems avoiding it to me.
Dave had been popping off after he had his one-year checkup after getting the multifocal implants, which are for those 45-plus with reading issues. And Dave is very proud of his 2015 vision, both near and far, better than perfect. And I mentioned the C-off, and Dave responded right away.
Yeah,
he was all over it. He was so fired up for a C-off. But I've heard nothing from Eli. Can you just text him real quick?
Eli probably is like, he's had the surgery more recently. He's got an advantage.
I don't know. Eli's pretty cocky about his vision.
He's very cocky, yeah.
He is. How was the show today, by the way, Brandon?
It was good. A lot of the NFL because, God, all these quarterbacks are dropping like flies and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
But we even hit on some Red Wings because that season's gearing up. I think they're in Traverse City right now, so there's a lot of good stuff in sports. No filter sports.
How many quarterbacks do we have out? Roethlisberger, Breeze.
Nick Foles.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I mean, this is stupid, but Andrew Luck. Sam Darnold has mono.
Yeah.
So there's just a whole bunch of them.
Five starters.
It's a pretty major list there.
And then you got guys like Aaron Donald. You got some running backs out there that are shaking up. So
Brandon and I were talking about it earlier. Kind of makes you appreciate Matthew Stafford a lot more.
He's pretty durable.
He never misses a game.
Incredibly durable.
No, he's amazing. I don't know how he hasn't gotten hurt. And he's not afraid to take off with the ball either.
No, can he learn how to slide, though?
Yeah, he
one kinda, slide he had yesterday.
The guy, and also that guy was coming behind him. I don't think he knew.
He didn't know, and he's trying to hit the anything. First, but still.
And Antonio Brown, wow, there is a huge piece on Antonio Brown that is mind-boggling. It really didn't blow my mind because, honestly, if you look at the list of the crap he's pulled in the last year that we know of.
I think there's some mind-boggling things in there. The fact that he can't pay some really small bills is really amazing.
He's a pathetic asshole. He's the kind of guy that Rob Walchek goes
after. Yeah, he's a scammer.
He's just a deadbeat. A multimillionaire deadbeat.
Yeah.
He also seems to be a serial sexual assaulter.
What do you think the over-under is years after he retires from the NFL where he'll be broke?
Well, that I thought of that immediately because in the story they keep mentioning, you know, this 8,000-square-foot house and that 8-square-foot-thousand
Exactly.
And I'm going, how many square feet does this guy need in how many different cities? And I...
And we'll get into it in a bit, but my favorite part of the brand new stuff that's come out today is something like...
We'll start there.
I'm ashamed that we missed this in our lives somewhere.
I know.
This must have happened in a gap year or something.
You know, I'm all ready to just pound on this guy because I really hate him already. And this article just made me even madder in Sports Illustrated. It is really... They spent a lot of time on it. They talked to a lot of people. And he is just... He is 100%... Asshole, just add water. You don't even have to add water. He's just an asshole. But there was one thing that was so utterly stood out from the story. It really had nothing to do with anything. And it looks like it might be quite funny. Anyway, Dr. Yeldo does the regular LASIK surgery, too. If you want to go in for a free consultation, a lot of people have talked about low-priced LASIK. Oh, we'll do it as low as this. And then you go and you find out that, oh, there's this you have to pay for. Dr. Yeldo promises to beat any LASIK offer you get. So you can feel confident that you're going to get a reasonable price when you go to Dr. Yeldo, and there aren't going to be people beating him, or you're not going to say afterwards, oh, my God, I could have done it for so much less. Check what people are paying, what they're really paying. Go to Dr. Yellow, have a consult, or check out the frames and the sunglasses. Get the best and pay the least. The evaluation is free. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES. Hey, if you even get some new frames, that'd be great. Go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And the thing that was just so weird in this story, and you had to chuckle a little bit, was that, okay, they're running through all the people that Antonio Brown of the New England Patriots now has screwed over. And the list appears to be endless in terms of owing them money. Just an endless list of trainers, assistants, dietitians, all these people. In one case...
Even that one guy that was just on Hard Knocks.
Oh.
He owes him money.
No, and the story, and I'll save it because it's a long story, and it's almost incredible. I mean, it really gives you a glimpse of what this guy's life is like.
Well, I was kind
of the chef at the Pro Bowl, which we'd heard that story, but there's much more detail.
I was kind of Antonio Brown out a little bit. But
I was too.
But this article is a must read.
It's incredible.
It's 100% a must read.
And you don't need to read it because we'll pretty much give you all the important details. Yeah. But the part that was the outlier was and you don't have to Dreamweaver Trudy because this doesn't require any football knowledge whatsoever.
Oh no, I think I know what's coming.
Dr. Victor Prisk was running an orthopedics and wellness business, and you know Anthony Brown seems to just go to endless people
Antonio,
for wellness.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown seems to go to endless people for wellness and diet and training and yet, so on and so forth.
It's so still unbalanced.
Yeah.
He should mix some mental health into the whole regiment.
I suppose he's certainly a physical specimen and how responsible all these people are that he doesn't pay. Who knows? But the guy has heard that this guy's not a good client. Mm-hmm. Don't take him on. But he says, oh, it's Antonio Brown. I'll take the meeting.
August of last year, and Antonio's 3 hours late for the meeting.
Oh, my God.
For starters. So... To do anything, he decides, well, we got to test his body fat. And before we get to the body fat test, which isn't that what he's doing in the video?
Yes, he's got a little wand or whatever.
Here's how it ended up. They agreed on a price for him to work with Antonio Brown, and then he starts, and this is what he seems to do a lot of times. Hey, let's build a whole center, and you know, we can combine forces, and you know, this is great. And he's all excited. And Dr. Prisk actually checks out buildings, and Antonio says, "Oh yeah, and I'll get these people. They'll provide the equipment," and which is kind of weird. You know, why does he need people to provide the equipment? It just sounds like he thinks everything in life is free because he can catch a football. And then he ends up ghosting Dr. Victor Prisk, and he owes him $11,500. And Dr. Prisk, I think, was debating whether to just go ahead and sue him because there's so many other people suing him. I guess he might as well join the crowd. In fact, I think there's a group suit.
Really?
In one case, yeah, one attorney is representing different people that are suing Antonio Brown for. And, you know, it's not gigantic money either for a guy that makes the kind of money he makes.
He owes Dr. Prisk $11,500.
Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Well, no, but I'm just illustrating, Dick. I'm just illustrating the point that it
stings.
$11,500. He also owes him $11,500.
I know none of the none of the amount are really that great, and it sounds like he tries to screw over his baby mamas too. The one, you know, this guy in calling the police, and I don't want to get into the whole story just yet because this part is just too precious. We need to get to this. But the one story about, you know, he calls the police every 5 minutes. It's incredible. Either he does or his baby mama does. In this case, he calls the police and says, "Yeah, this woman," who's his baby mama, had three of his kids. "She stole my Range Rover and my credit card." So the police show up. I mean, how stupid is this? The police wasting their valuable time.
Don't they know his voice by now on the phone?
They probably do.
Is this Antonio again?
He called them 3 days in a row.
Oh, my God.
At one point when he was in Florida at one of his many luxurious mansions. They get there, and the woman, yes, she has his credit card. She has the car, and she says, "He's going to California, and he's not leaving me any money. I've got three kids to take care of." So she says, "If he'll just give me $1,000, $1,000, Antonio Brown, three kids?
It is Florida.
Antonio Brown, this was in Pennsylvania. Oh, was this in Florida? Yeah, it was in Florida. I think it was. Anyway, he says, "I'll give her $500.
Oh, jeez.
And I think that's what happened was the cop gave her the $500. She gave back the credit card and the car, and
I think this was in Pennsylvania.
Why are those things negotiated through a cop that you call?
Probably best so those two don't talk to each other.
Well, he was going to leave her with nothing.
Well, court. That's why she took his credit card. But
I mean, what an absolute jackass! Kind of... But let's see what happened with Dr. Prisk. As apparently there were some farting going on, and during the test, Dr. Prisk complained that Antonio Brown farted repeatedly in his face once, and he made it sound like he thought that Antonio Brown thought this was really funny.
Well, it is.
There's not a really good lead into the video. It just starts. The doctor's working on him with the wand, and it just starts.
So and it sounds like a setup because Antonio's assistant, who probably didn't get paid also, is recording this for some reason, which is probably because he told him, "I got some great farts."
And uploaded it to YouTube.
For which I give him credit.
Well, he's 3 hours late. Maybe he's loading them on cabbage. And...
All right, here it is. Here it is.
My bad, Doc. My bad. He smiles. Antonio smiles at the camera.
I didn't even get that when you're so lean there.
Oh, he's on his abdomen.
It's pretty freaking low. Here comes the bodybuilders. This is pretty freaking low. I gotta stay wet.
Damn,
my bad.
Damn.
No, I should eat.
What'd he say?
I said, "My bad, the shit I'm eating," I think.
That's his most likable moment ever.
My bad. Damn. No, shitty.
Those are two solid farts. He's definitely an all-pro farter. The doctor laughs at the second one. And I don't think it's an awkward one. I don't think it's an awkward laugh. I think he genuinely thought it was funny.
That's pretty close to the...
Not to dispute his claim. His face is nowhere near the fart, by the way.
I would like to get a genetic test done to see if he shares any features with Chuck Berry.
All right, let's take a listen.
The fart is...
Let's take a listen.
It's pretty close.
Same. Wow.
I love how proud Antonio Brown is of himself. Look at his smile. Bunch of smiles. Like, yeah.
When that one, yeah. That one, the Chuck Berry fart, is pushed.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is.
Totally pushed.
That's pushed.
By the way, the other
pushed.
The fuck scare you,
just
don't
a
they?
Quick sidebar. I had never seen the.
Look at this guy. Just kidding. I still hate you.
I had never known that the Chuck Berry fart was like video. I just thought it was audio. And when I watched it, it was a couple weeks ago. Drew, you got so grossed out, you ran upstairs.
It's I don't want to see that so video. Gross.
It is.
I know.
Nasty.
It's disgusting.
What I think.
It is so gross.
R. Kelly-esque.
Yeah, he's peeing on this girl, and then she tries to kiss him. He's like, yeah, you smell like piss.
He's shocked at his fart scare. Well, I'd be shocked if they didn't scare her.
For as long as I've heard you guys play that drop going years and years back, I always thought that it was just audio. But no, that video is crazy.
Smelly, but I love it.
Also contained the Rob Lowe video and the Go-Go's watching a roadie match.
They're all great video. I think the Rob Lowe one kind of sucks.
Yeah, it's too dark. Okay, well, this adds more fuel to the guy that wrote Radio Buzzboard.
What?
Somebody sent me some stupid
string. I'm going there now.
On WJR.
Yeah.
And apparently they're suggesting that that I could replace Guy Gordon and help WJR. And there's some annoying response about, oh, yeah, people like farts. Listen.
Yeah, sounds like he knows the show
that's
well.
That's all we do. Although we just spent 10 minutes on farts.
It
wasn't the best time to bring up that Radio Buzzboard item.
I think we were trying to show that Antonio Brown is more than just the things in the news.
It also shows how comfortable I am that the show is more than farts, that I would bring it up right after talking about farts. I'm stacking the two stories because I know that that's not the case. And by the way, working on WJR, I can't imagine what a horrible idea that would be.
You mean you, yes, or just in general? Oh, yeah, no. You on JR does not make sense.
You'd
no
be in the same building as
Blaine.
Oh, Blaine.
So Maz
too
can never,
yeah,
go back.
No. Oh, yeah, Maz would be out.
Who else is in there? Oh, Mitch.
Oh, Mitch, yeah, that's right. Oh, we'd share the same frequency.
We'd have a crossover
awkward
with him.
Awkward elevator ride.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
We'd get along great.
Okay, Mitch, see you around.
That would be the extent.
Well, honestly, hey, if WJR was ever serious about ratings, which I don't think they are, I really don't think they care anymore. If they care, they're not showing a very good job of doing better. I mean, their ratings are really,
well, revenue
low now. They used to
revenue.
I know that. That's the amazing thing. How do they make the most money in Detroit with no ratings? I don't get it.
I kind of admire it in a way.
It's all reputation, isn't it? Because they don't go by what the, you know, people
decision makers listen to WJR.
The people,
that's what they suggest.
Yes, they didn't subscribe to that at some point. They're very carefree.
Well, after
in that respect,
after I saw the Buzzboard item, I went to go find out how many people they actually have listening to their station. I think it's 210,000 altogether. Yikes. Period. The whole week.
Wait, that includes Lions? I can't include Lions.
I don't know.
That's got to be Monday through Friday.
It would have been before the Lions. And 25 to 54, I think it's 49,000. That's the demo. I mean, we have more 25 to 54-year-old listeners than they
do. People don't listen to AM like they used to. Seems like it's more about FM and color TV.
That's stupid.
It sure is.
Did you see Mitch's column yesterday about
People being mean to old people?
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Jabs at Joe Biden mask are growing ageism issue. There's too many issues. I can't follow all of them.
Yeah.
Well,
Joe Biden's not helping himself with this ageism issue.
Did you see the corn pop story he told?
What? No.
That was hilarious.
Sounds great, though.
It was. I have to admit, I was quite amused. I listened to the whole thing. He's in Delaware at some community swimming pool he apparently worked at when he was a teenager.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he told some guy to get off the diving board.
A gang guy.
Yeah. And he called him Esther Williams.
Ooh, sick
burn.
Get
off the diving board, Esther Williams. Is like, really? Wow, what a bully that Biden was.
Ah, good one.
What the hell is Esther Williams?
She was a swimmer. She was married to, Wait, you look marvelous. She was married to that guy.
Oh, Ricardo Montalban?
The guy Billy Crystal did, whoever that was. Huh. Yeah, she was married to that guy.
Montalban?
I mean, this what a ridiculous connection.
Lorenzo Lamas' dad.
Look marvelous.
Wait, so is Esther Williams Lorenzo Lamas' mom?
Yeah. Jane Wyman? Isn't Jane Wyman?
No, Kimball Gage, Susan Gage, Benjamin Gage.
What?
This conversation is getting way too confusing.
Anyway, thanks a lot, Biden.
Biden makes this, I mean, what a shot. Get off the diamond board, Esther Williams. So the guy, he says that when he's getting ready to leave, that guy who he called Esther Williams and three of his buddies who were in a gang were waiting with straight razors.
Whoa.
And they were sharpening them on the cement.
What year is this supposed to be?
I mean, like the 30s? I don't know.
Sharpening them on the cement or dulling them on the cement?
This never happened.
I swear to God, I thought he said they were sharpening them or I don't know. Anyway, so he went out there and he took the
Dukes up.
One of his co-workers said, you better take the chain out there, like the chain lock.
Oh, like he's going to go out.
Yeah, like he was going to go out and whip the chain. Yeah. And so he walks out there with the chain, which sounds so ridiculous.
Badass Biden.
And he apologized for calling him Esther Williams, but he also said, but you got to stay off the diving board. And the guy said, are you apologizing? And he said, yes, I'm apologizing. And Corn Pop, who was the gang member's name, accepted his apology.
It's not a gang name.
Well everybody said that.
Someone and then actually found an obituary for some guy in Delaware where he lived named Corn Pop. Went by Corn Pop.
I think that
was a gang member.
True.
Joe found it, and that's what the whole story's based on.
I may have planted the obit to make Joe right.
Did you see John Oliver's joke with Joe Biden in it?
I did not.
Here, play it, Brandon.
In responding to a question about the legacy of American slavery, said this.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear words.
Oh, shit. That is Joe Biden.
The record player.
Then replacing it with record player.
He was about to say phonograph, wasn't he?
Stopping himself from saying phonograph. Let's all remember that very funny moment when Biden inevitably sends a concession telegram to Trump next November.
Isn't that great?
Oh, boy.
He's a disaster, and he's probably going to win the nomination.
So here's the deal. If you want to have dinner with the show on October the 11th, Zot Ford is kicking off a fabulous dinner contest. Three lucky couples will get to enjoy a delicious Mexican feast with all of us, I hope.
They had dinner.
I don't know who isn't coming. If you're not coming and you're part of this crew, then please let me know. I don't know why anybody wouldn't come, but anyway, if you can. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Good. That's two. Winning this coveted prize is easy. Head to Zot Ford and drop your name in the hat, and three lucky couples will be drawn at random. Plus, if you buy or lease a new vehicle from Zot Ford during the contest, you will double your chances to win. It's just like doubling your paycheck with my bookie.
No way.
There's so much doubling going on around here. So be sure to let the hottest sales staff in Oakland County know you are a listener so they can double your chance to win. Hurry. Dinner is October 11th. And also, they want to remind you about the ridiculous deals like the fall clearance event where they got four new trucks and SUV models you can lease below $100 a month. Yes, during Zot Ford's fall clearance event, you can lease a new 19 Ford EcoSport, Escape, Edge, or F-150 all below $100 a month. These are not watered-down rides. These bad boys are loaded with all the creature comforts you're looking for. See details and their massive inventory at dealsnd.com. And Trudy, Dr. Roche is beautifying.
Yes, as a matter of fact.
But beauty.
Dr. Roche is trying to undo what the summer did to your skin. All the wear and tear as your bronze goddessness fades. It leaves behind the age spots, the sun spots, the wrinkles. And some saggy, baggy skin. Time for Dr. Roche's skin treatments that nourish your skin and tighten. Like, Christie Brinkley, minus the broken arm.
Oh, my God, is she hot.
Face Tight BBL Active FX, all skin tightening and skin brightening procedures. Plus, the special offers for September, Botox. Buy two areas, get the third one free.
You're wrinkler than my dad's balls.
Moved it out. Your consternation crevices.
If your son says that to you, you need to listen.
And your inner diva, you can unleash your inner diva by getting Diva. Receive one treatment for $1,200, which is a $1,500 regular treatment, or three treatments for $3,850, which is $4,500, plus a free G-spot.
Yeah, that's $1,200.
Yeah. If bald and wrinkly is your thing, you might want to check out my Mr. Johnson.
There you go.
What did they tell me about that? Do they unwrinkle balls? I don't know. I asked them about that one time. That's a great thing about going to their office, so you can ask them any ridiculous question.
I know, the funny thing
is, he'll answer it.
Chappelle.
They've been asked before, every time. Guys, ever come in here and get boobs? Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, and Bron Bad Light BBL treatments. Three treatments corrective, plus three treatments of PhotoRev for only $1,000. That's a regular $2,325. Procedure. So give them a call. 248-338-1110 or droche.com.
Now, I actually thought of something today.
There's breaking news regarding Rick Ocasek.
Oh no.
The medical examiner's just said he died of heart disease. That's it.
Okay. That was fast.
Yeah. He had been suffering from heart disease. And then pulmonary, I can never pronounce these words, pulmonary
edema?
Emphysema, a type of lung disease, contributed to his death.
Oh, that would explain walking on the beach in full clothing.
I guess
pants,
so.
And, yeah, because you'd be cold.
Except I would think Rick Ocasek would wear long pants on the beach. No, I don't know why.
Regardless. Wasn't he tall as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
And isn't that also Marfan syndrome, where you have, you know, like there's a lot of distance between your heart and the rest of your body?
I know. It makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and his son is tall, too. He was with his son, Oliver, who's 6'4", and Rick looked just slightly shorter than him. So he's a big, tall, skinny guy.
Hey, does anybody think the Christy Brinkley thing was fake, though?
A little bit.
I just saw a little bit of
Trudy, I swear, it's so funny. You're such a conspiracy theorist on these little things, which cracks me up. I kind of thought it looked fake, too. I really did. I'm like, wait, she broke that arm? Because I thought she would have broken... I thought that she, like, faked the wrong arm hurt.
I know. I only saw it for a second, and in that second, I thought, fake!
Can we watch that?
Where's that at?
It was on GMA,
Good Morning America,
I think, because, they carry... That's ABC, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, they carry...
Do they have video of her injuring it?
Yes.
Right. And so, wouldn't you know, her daughter, Sailor...
How convenient.
Oh, what a coincidence.
I couldn't find any other C-level celebrity to dance.
You know, when they had this picture of Christy Brinkley walking into rehearsal, and she looks so outstanding. She's wearing these relatively tight shorts and tight top.
Nice.
And she just looks fantastic. And honestly, I thought to myself...
Now left with an extra challenge, teaching Christy's replacement, her daughter Sailor,
there's the
a
video.
Dance in just 3 days.
Oh my God, what are they going to do?
Oh, here we go. Oh, that looks so fake.
Wait,
oh my God, that looks so fake.
That?
Hey, and her right arm is the one that's hurt. Her right arm.
No, look. I get it.
No, shouldn't her left be hurt?
She does grab her right arm.
No, her left... Obviously, it looks like it fell, but her right arm, you can tell that the way her hand hits, she probably just broke her wrist.
You're falling for this, Brandon?
Why did she
I'm worried about her bone structure, though.
I am, too. I think she's got to drink some milk.
She needs HGH to
fortify her. Wait, how did she trip over that foot? That looks fake.
Serious osteoporosis.
So fake.
She trips over his foot.
Yeah, but not really. She barely touches it.
It's not a
banana peel.
It's kind of like a, oh my goodness, I'm falling.
It's like all the milk is going to her boobs and none to her bones.
Yeah, that seems fishy.
Totally.
And the fact
that milk?
Sailor Brinkley Cook is replacing her. Why is Sailor Brinkley Cook, by the way? Why does she have a hyphenated last name?
I have no idea. Because, you have to be a Brinkley if you're going to get into modeling. Yeah,
okay, it can
be
your middle name, but shouldn't she be Sailor Cook?
Yes, she could.
Did Christy like that last husband? You know,
not when she dumped him. He was nailing a 19-year-old, so she wasn't too fond of him. Did they add Brinkley hyphen Cook when that was found out?
Didn't he move
all
on
these
to
questions?
Didn't he move on to a trans individual who left us a very bad review on Facebook?
Oh wow, I forgot about that. Part.
Right? Wasn't that Peter Cook?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and then
her
and her mean friends left very mean reviews.
We would not be at 4.9 if it wasn't,
for
Christy Brinkley's bastard ex.
So
damn it.
Hang on, though. Is that Sailor in the blue outfit there? Mm-hmm. How's she already ready? Because didn't this just happen? Allegedly, and already their promotional pictures of her already in a little
outfit. Sure seems like they were working this angle pretty quick.
Totally.
And so anyway, you're probably going to laugh at me. I was briefly considering, you know, who would you rather nail? Christy or Sailor? Because Christy is,
we've been through this argument before.
I know.
I'd prefer Alexa.
Nobody wants Alexa.
No, I know. Alexa's never even brought up into the
She's got the Billy Joel jeans.
Yeah.
She really does. I don't think she's... I think she's pretty.
Is she a good piano player?
Alexa, right?
She doesn't look like Christy Brinkley, though, unfortunately.
She's pretty. She's just... You just see Billy Joel.
I know. You do see Billy Joel. Definitely.
Wow.
Chris, look at Christy Brinkley. Oh, my God. Plus, she's got all that experience.
Yeah.
And, exactly. And she's a little crazy. She's been married four times. Crazy,
you like what you see, huh?
Crazy and hot can be a wild combination in the sack.
Yeah. Well, I bet.
I don't see
she
any crazy
happy
in Sailor.
Happy, too. Never moody whatsoever. So she looks like she'd just be...
I think that's a front.
Wait a sec. Go back to the last picture. I think Alexa might be the hottest in that one.
In this one?
Rack. She looks good there.
Oh, she's got
she does.
I still see Billy Joel, so never mind.
Well, they both have five heads, don't they? Big foreheads, those girls.
Yeah, we need them to pull the bangs back so we can at least evaluate the five head.
I'm leaning Christy.
Sailor is married.
I think Christy.
I know. She's a knockout. Yeah. She's like 64 years old. She looks incredible. She really does. I don't know how she's doing that. I mean, I think she would have you believe that she's not doing the plastic surgery route.
Oh,
is that believable?
No.
Her face.
Silver fox.
Her face looks very real because there are a lot of women, especially in her world, who at that age start going crazy with the Botox and they look.
Everybody in Hollywood get plastic surgery.
They look strange to me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who I saw most. Oh, you know who I saw? Brody Jenner's mom is Linda Thompson, who was married to Bruce Jenner and. She was with Elvis, too, for a while.
Oh, God.
And she looked like she just went crazy with Botox and fillers.
Yeah, I kind of would, I think, if I had wasted all my time on those two. I'd want time back.
She looks like Caitlyn Jenner.
I mean, doesn't that look bizarre?
Yeah, that is pretty hideous.
Looks like kind of a Joker smile somehow. I'm sorry she can smile.
Wait, she was with... Wait, go up a little bit. Is that a Photoshop with her and Elvis, or is that really her and Elvis? Not that one.
That's...
Go up.
Look at the king. He's all business.
That one. To the left.
To the left? That's probably her. Look at the king.
Oh, my God. That's the worst I've ever seen him.
I'm just looking out the window, sweating profusely.
Look how high he is, by the way.
Ready for my next envelope.
Look at his eyes.
Wow, she looks great, though.
Yeah, she's quite beautiful.
Yeah, except...
By the way, Caitlyn Jenner on the roast for Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Oof.
Caitlyn Jenner hurts my eyes so bad. I need to go see Dr. Yaldo after looking at that.
She was a very
so
good
harsh.
Sport.
She
I'll
was
say
a
that
great
for her.
Sport.
I thought Alec Baldwin laughed the hardest at the jokes about his brothers and what losers they are.
Yep.
Isn't that kind of strange?
Hey, doesn't it say something when none of them showed up to that thing?
I know. I thought that was odd.
He did laugh, and then you could see as
he
they...
felt bad
they,
about it.
Yeah, they cut away, and then they cut back to him, and you could see he's thinking, oh, crap, they're going to see me laughing really hard.
Those were the most natural
hell
laughs
to pay.
He had all night.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest roast, but it was
I loved
it. Okay. You did? It was okay.
I only saw Sean Hayes, Blake Griffin, and Nikki Glaser.
Those Nikki Glaser was
that's,
killer.
That's really funny
she
to say
was
that.
Great.
Those are the three best ones.
Yeah.
You want to hear
all downhill after
and, but then who was the woman from Sabrina?
Oh, Caroline Ray.
Caroline Ray.
Okay.
Who looks like Louis Anderson if you were really a woman.
But yeah.
I didn't think Adam Carolla knocked it out of the park.
No, that was all.
I didn't get to see that, but...
Even Ross either. Gosh,
no.
Sean Hayes.
A lot of people were pretty mean to Adam Carolla.
So good.
You want to hear some of Nikki?
Yeah,
Nikki, she was really good. Boy, De Niro got wailed on.
I know.
That's what I love about roast. The collateral damage is always hilarious.
Jesus. Here's a little bit of Nikki Glaser, just a short clip of her.
Blake, you look like a black guy that got made by a printer running out of ink. Jenner, I just want to thank you for all you've done for the trans movement and the size 16 stiletto industry. You are such an incredible athlete. People forget just how fast you once ran from your first family to go be on a reality show. Seriously, though, I know being a new mom is hard. But even Casey Anthony knows the current location of her daughter.
There were some rough shots.
You're a Republican. I don't know why. You've already gained control over a woman's body. What does that party have to do to lose your support? Be your son? Caitlin, I know you've only publicly identified as a woman for a few years, but I just want you to know that I know that deep down you have always been a c- and,
Which is the only word that was bleeped in this
video. How are you? You're great. Thank you. You're great. Alec Baldwin, what an honor to be here roasting Justin Bieber's wife's oldest, fattest uncle. It's like... I'll never forget that voicemail that when you called your daughter Ireland a thoughtless little pig. It's got to be one of the worst things you can call your daughter. After Ireland, actually, that's...
Ireland laughed a lot.
Yikes. Speaking of terrible names, your wife's name is Hilaria. Is it Hilaria? It's Hilaria?
Hilaria.
Hilaria? Oh, it's so stupid. Okay. It doesn't matter. She's so hot. Dude, she's so hot and fit. Does getting screamed at burn calories? You have four kids under the age of six. I just, how do you do it? I mean, isn't your semen just oatmeal at this point?
Oh, my God. She killed.
She's great.
Oh. She killed it.
She hammered De Niro, too, didn't she?
Yes.
Before that?
She had a few, just a few things.
I think he shrank in size.
I know. It's funny. With every insult, he looked older.
And smaller.
Yeah. He really was shrinking on the couch.
Wow. Have you seen that? Speaking of him being short, have you seen that shot of him for The Irishman? Is that the new movie?
Yeah.
That he's going to be? And the shoes that he wore in The Irishman,
soles
are like that tall.
No way, really?
Probably about 8 inches. Because wow. I guess the guy he's playing is really tall.
Oh, my God.
Is this one with Pesci?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. There's a picture of those shoes.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
how ridiculous. How absolutely
so you can
ridiculous.
Sky over Pacino. Shoes are so stupid.
Oh, look at him.
So
how tall is Pacino?
Oh, man, I don't know. Maybe 6 feet.
Really? Wow. He doesn't seem like
he's probably,
did.
He might not even be that tall.
Oh, no. Pacino is only 5'7".
What?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Pacino's... He's short.
I didn't know he's that short.
Isn't it funny how these dudes who play these very, you know, violent individuals are tiny little...
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that God's joke with actors, famous actors? They're all short. And it really bothers them.
Yeah.
Why are they all so short?
Fitting the camera.
Short people.
I don't hate short people. I don't.
Well, they weren't.
I just think that there are certain tendencies that they reveal about their personality that may be related. It's
only certain people.
Unscientific sociological.
Let's not broad brush.
Imagine that last 30 seconds would take the word short and put like black in. Or women.
Oh. Well, I do think women also contribute.
They do have
to
certain
it.
Tendencies. Yes.
Okay, I'm going to just throw this out there because it's a big local story. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but the GM strike.
Oh, boy.
Now, first of all, the first thing I heard today was that they will lose $250 million a day. And I was like, what? That's $1 billion in 4 days. Is that number seems crazy. And then on Channel 7, I saw it's $1.3 million an hour, which would be $32 million a day.
Yeah.
So it seems there's a discrepancy in the amount of money they're going to lose.
Right.
But
nobody understands it.
And the strike pay is $250 a week versus the $1,200 they ordinarily, the people who are on strike, would be earning. So.
$250 a week. That's not very good.
Well, I'll use a calculator for that.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question because I'm assuming that this works like government. When let's just say they were to settle the strike in 3 weeks, would all the UAW people be reimbursed beyond the $250 a week? Would that be part of the settlement?
Oh,
well, I have no idea.
I kind of think it would. So? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Because working for GM still seems like working for the government to me. Not quite
I don't
like,
think so.
Not like it was, but they made $12 billion last year. And I still, you know, it's about plants closing. It's about wages and health care. I think they're getting them a 2% raise, what they're at.
I thought.
Offering.
Okay. Doesn't the UAW run the health care now, though? Wasn't that part of the
They mentioned healthcare. Is that Chrysler, maybe?
Oh, maybe it is.
I think it's Chrysler. Or not Chrysler. As if Chrysler exists.
Fiat, whatever.
And then also equity for temporary and lower tier pay people.
Equity for...
Yeah.
As much pay as...
I think they want that the lower tier to go higher. Away. Yeah.
Oh.
Which is interesting because that's what settled a previous impasse was to be able to hire people at a lower wage, and that way they could build the smaller cars.
Yes.
So
I think they're saying, okay, we're all through the rough waters. Now it's time to put it back to the way it used to be when we were having more fun, right?
Yeah, there's some of that, definitely. I caught this one quote that didn't hit me the right way, and it was a girl, and first of all, she was saying, you know, what her job is, and she does it so well. And she said, we gave concessions during the darkest hours. And, you know, honestly, I realized they made concessions, but all the taxpayers made a big concession, too.
Exactly. Yeah,
it was a lot of government money that saved GM. Those concessions, you know, they didn't stop the pension, did they? At GM? Or don't they still have a pension? I'm not sure.
I have no idea.
But
that was a good investment, though, for the government. I mean, they made money back and then some.
Yeah, they did get paid back. A lot of people, you know, honestly, the public did not want to do that.
No. God.
The polls were incredibly high against, in favor of letting GM go bankrupt, which would have been a lot worse for all those people.
Yeah.
Now.
And Detroit.
Oh, absolutely.
Let that happen.
What I loved about the way that all worked out was the, you know, Obama put together this group of car czars, and I thought they made some really good decisions that apparently GM.
Remember when they flew to D.C. and everyone got pissed, so then they had to take the caravan?
That was so incredibly stupid.
Didn't one of them drive it?
They flew in their private jets originally, and somebody gave them crap for it.
Not a good look.
No, that was ridiculous.
So then didn't somebody take an electric car, but there was fear that it would break down, so they had two vans following?
I think it was the Volt?
I don't remember.
I don't recall either.
It's just all show, though.
But anyway, you know, this whole thing about, you know, we gave concessions during the darkest hour, so it's time for them to pay us back. I don't know how well that goes over. But if you had to guess.
They are saying concessions to their employer, not necessarily for the government.
Yeah, I knew what she meant. Yeah. I just feel that's really just part of that story.
That should have been in the deal then, 10 years later.
And if they weren't part of this giant company, they would have been out of luck. Yeah. But my question is, in terms of this strike, and I hate it when you get information like this. I don't know if it's costing them $250 million a day or $32 million a day, or somebody else said $100 million a day. So it's somewhere in there. But anyway, do you think people will support GM or the strikers? The UAW. If you had to guess, if there was a poll, would you guess that more people would favor the company or the employees?
I think the employees, I would think.
The employees, but they're inseparable. How do you support one over the other? The one, and I mean, without the employees, there's employees. So.
I thought about it, and it's a tricky
Although times are good right now, so maybe the employers are going to get more support than they would have.
Times are good, but I have a feeling there are a lot of people probably go, hey, wait a second, you know, you just went bankrupt. If they get all fat and happy with the workers again, you know, that'll take them down again. Because some of the things that went on back in the day were just crazy, stupid.
I know. But
on the other hand,
can't they put some of it back, except for that room they would go into?
The condos?
Yeah. What was that called?
Weren't they called condos? Didn't they call them condos?
It's a room where you just went and fucked around all day because you were on the clock.
It was a status where there was no work for you, but you had to show up and watch DVDs all day.
You could
something.
Do whatever you wanted to do. You just had to be there.
But it can't go back to the way it was before because technology has changed so much of it anyway.
Well, that's technology. I don't think that's really the issue.
No, but I mean, are they going to be able to sell as many cars as they had years ago, percentage-wise?
Probably not.
There's a lot more automation now, too. So
on the other side, well, you know, they used to feather bed jobs. When jobs disappeared, they had to keep the person anyway. And, you know, I don't – how can companies stay in business doing that? I don't – well, they didn't really because they should have gone out of business. But not to mention their management was terrible. I mean, I dare anyone to blame anyone but the people running GM because, you know – I've compared GM, not just GM, but the big three for the most part, to being like radio right now, where you're losing share every year, but you don't do anything to really change things.
Right, you can't see any.
We only lost 0.5% last year. Oh, we only lost 1/3% last year. Oh, we only lost 0.9 last year. No, you're losing every freaking year from like 1982 to 2008, and yet they still ran it the same way.
Well, didn't they, at that point, too, they were like... well, we can't make smaller cars because we have, for some reason, they could only make enough money on the bigger cars, and they made them bigger and bigger and bigger, like the ones, the
Suburbans. And the price of gas goes up.
That
and
wouldn't
then...
fit in people's garages. That's how big they got.
I know. Right. And well, and the fact is they still make the most money off the larger vehicles, which Americans generally do like, when unless the price of gas gets insane, which the price of oil may be going up.
It's actually my car, but I bought it for her.
Because
it's
the Saudi,
the smallest one Detroit makes. Mm.
Do we know anything more about the Saudi oil?
I don't know. He just had one of his Oval Office press conference.
Yeah, he says that Iran, he believes, Iran's behind it.
Right? Yeah, but I'm not sure. I care about all that unless we go more. I just care about what's gas going to be like.
Sure, and he knows that.
Yeah. Well, oil's going to go up as much as $20 a barrel.
So what does that mean?
A quarter, like the gas 25 pump? Cents a gallon.
Why would it, though? Aren't we energy independent now? Aren't we making enough oil here that we don't...
Well, I keep hearing that we have so much.
Well, I know internationally, it's going to go up, but...
What about the oil fields?
We're getting plowed in the ass by the oil companies and the gas companies with their 10-gallon hats and their rotten ass-plowing hearts.
I don't know. I think maybe we need another day to absorb all this and see what transpires.
I thought we were fracking. Aren't we fracking?
Well, I know that conversation always gets thrown in here, too. Judge Kavanaugh, back in the news.
Still.
And, you know, yesterday we read that crazy story, and it was a weirdest story. I'm referring to the one that Max Steers is the source for, where they pull his pants down, and somehow they pushed his penis into a woman's hand. Now, I kind of thought that was a sexual assault on Judge Kavanaugh because it said they pulled his pants down and they pushed his penis, and it sounded like there were 20 hands on his penis.
Right, right.
Just forcing it into this girl's hand.
I got the head! Yeah.
I mean, it's just a really weird story. And then they had the other story about the girl who swatted his penis away after he dropped trow in front of her face, and she inadvertently touched it. Which, of course, I thought made her sound like a slut, but it's crazy.
If you swat it, you are going to touch it.
You know, they make it sound like his penis is so big.
I know. He must be so hung.
I'm not
Have
buying
you seen my wiener?
And it sounds
unless, Drew, maybe
every place he goes,
wait a
he's
second.
Just like...
Maybe it's really tiny, and that's why all the friends had to, like, push him and the penis into the girl's hand.
Oh, because it was a tight squeeze?
Yeah, it was just really small.
Well... I don't. They didn't
know.
Talk about that. I feel like if anyone had said it was anything less than normal size, they would have reported it.
You know, if you want to really come clean about this, that's what you should suggest. His penis is too small, and be like, no, it isn't.
Yeah, he'll prove it.
A lot of people saw it.
So, yesterday, the weirdest part of that story was this tweet about it being something innocent fun. One of the writers that tweeted that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And people were just enraged about that. And then today, and I thought this was much more significant, people were pointing out that, wait a second, they did not include in their account that the woman doesn't remember this and also that she refused to give an interview and that her friends don't remember it either. Or
failing New York Times.
So people thought that to not include that in the story yesterday, which had people screaming, impeachment, multiple people, was irresponsible. So, you know, I don't know. I did feel that was pretty consequential that she doesn't remember it. and she wouldn't be interviewed for this book because the book was the story.
It wasn't a memorable penis then?
She didn't remember the event.
It wasn't a memorable event. Oh, okay.
She did not remember it happening.
Which woman is this? The one we knew about before?
Ramirez?
No, it's the new one. The new one.
Okay.
Which is the new one is really the story, I assume.
Yeah, that there was a second one.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I saw a lot of people threatening to cancel their subscriptions.
Oh, yeah. Sure you will.
Which I'm sure. Yeah, like that many people. Do people really pay for online newspaper subscriptions? Does anyone do that?
No, they get 10 articles.
Anyone besides me that's ever done that? Because I did it once with the Boston Globe to get a Hernandez story.
And they won't leave
you
alone.
And I ended up subscribing to it for the next 6 years and found out I spent like, you know, $2,000 on the Boston Globe that I didn't know about. So I know I'll never do it again, but I just wonder, has anyone else ever done it?
No.
No, they get their 10 articles a month, and then...
And then they just say, oh, I guess it's not that important to read.
Yeah, I'm done with the New York Times.
I'll look for someone to aggregate it.
It's like The Athletic, yeah.
The Athletic claims they have all those people signing up.
You know, it's interesting, The Athletic, because I saw a string on that where people were saying that they paid, and they're delighted they pay, and they'd pay twice what they pay. And
yeah,
all these people were on there.
No one believes it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if I believe that either. It seemed strange that people would be so adamant about the fact that they pay and they're happy they pay.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I mean, I wouldn't think they'd feel that strongly.
Are they
about
paying
you
anyway?
Pay and you'd enjoy it.
Have they ever had a story that's that important to pay for and read?
No, because the most important stories they put out for free. Like, if it's a bombshell story, they'll let you read it.
Well, not only that, but someone else who has paid for it will read it and then write about it online, and I'll just read their write-up on it.
You know, the guy from The Athletic?
Right? I mean, it's...
Skinflint.
No, that's true.
Plus, it'll save me a lot of time.
The guy from The Athletic who interviewed me about Malik McDowell, because we talked to his mother back when I was a sports reporter.
Where's that story? Did you sign up to read the story that you're quoted in?
No. I said, can you send me that story? And he was like... I don't know if I can do that. And I was like, really? You can't even send me a copy?
It's a good
and
business
so
model.
He sent me the link, and I clicked the link, and it said I had to pay to read the story.
You're like, put on me
I never
story.
Even read the story. And by the way, Malik
story.
McDowell, didn't he get in trouble again? Did something else happen to
Oh,
Malik
I don't
McDowell?
Know.
I think he was in the news the other day.
Really?
You want, though, if you were a newspaper of any merit, wouldn't you want your information out there in this moment in time where shitty information is out there? Wouldn't you want relevant information to be free?
I would think so.
I got to tell you, Trudy, I don't know how this works. And the minute they started printing everything online for free, I thought, how are you ever going to get people to pay?
Right.
Because anytime you give people something and they get it for free, they're very disinclined. I'm used to getting that for free. I'm not paying for that.
They still have to be making money on the actual print newspaper, because why else would they be still printing the newspaper?
Well, that seems to me like the most, probably one of their better revenue streams, because
they probably make more printing than they do online.
There are a lot of newspapers on the stand when I go in the morning. There's like a whole.
And what about
stack.
When you go in the afternoon? Are they?
They're
gone?
Usually gone.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The Sunday paper's like $5 now.
I know. That was a sticker shot. Last time I bought it, I'm like, wow. What?
And then the Malik McDowell, a couple days ago, he was arrested for violating his bond agreement.
Oh, that barely registers for him.
Not a big deal, but I don't know.
I guess not a big deal.
In a strange way, I feel bad for him. He's been doing some really stupid things, and... It's just so strange to me that we went from, you know, his mother giving us that crazy interview where, you know, she's saying that Michigan State's defensive line coach hasn't turned out enough pros for Malik to go there, so she won't sign the scholarship. And your mother shouldn't be talking about that. Your mother should be saying, I want him to get a good education, even if she doesn't mean it. She should be saying that. And it was obvious to me that someone else recruiting him probably said that to her, and she was repeating it. But anyway, he went there. He did pretty well. I mean, he got drafted 35th, I think, in the draft. He wasn't a first-round pick. He should have been, but he went high. And then he has this ATV accident and then this string of arrests. And what seems like was 2 minutes ago, he's the most promising guy in the world. It's over. Mm-hmm. It's already completely over. And it just doesn't seem to me like he's...
And then there's Supervisor Gate.
Yeah.
Supervisor Gate?
Yeah. I need your supervisor.
Which supervisor?
When he asked for the supervisor.
Oh, yeah. I need your supervisor.
58 times or whatever.
Times.
I know. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I bet you there's one person out there who's like, I love The Athletic. I don't mind paying for it.
No, I think there are. It just seemed like these people were trying to sell it so hard.
No,
how
I mean,
much
in, I mean, in our audience.
Paying for it. Yeah, well, somebody will pop off. Somebody will send us an email, I bet. All right.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
You know what? Kind of lost in the Rick Ocasek news. Rick Ocasek. Was that there was a big fundraiser, and they covered it on the news last night here locally, for Carl Carlton. Does anybody remember Carl Carlton?
No.
Remember the song Everlasting Love, Trudy? Open up your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Everlasting Love.
Hey,
yeah.
Carl, good to see you.
It was covered by a lot of people, too.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good pop song. It's a very good pop song. It was a big hit. And then he also wrote, I didn't know he wrote this. That's why I paid attention mainly, was because they said he wrote Mamma Jamma.
Like, oh, no kidding.
She's bad, Mamma Jamma. I guess that's Carl Carlton.
That's a good song, too.
It's a good song.
Wow, Carl Carlton, huh?
Yeah, they were in fundraiser because he had a stroke, and so he had all these medical bills, and like a lot of musicians.
They didn't have any.
Have great insurance,
there.
And yes.
Well, he gave us a lot of good songs.
This Mamma Jamma? Mm-hmm. I remember
this. This rocks.
This is a big old hit, I think.
It's a clapping song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Carl?
Yeah.
No shit. Look at her. She's a bad man. Pajama.
Just as fine. He looks like the Lost Jackson.
I know, he does.
He does.
I was just thinking that, and he has kind of a Michael Jackson-esque voice. He's Michael Jackson without any of the creepy stuff.
No. So he's Jermaine? Oh, wait, never mind.
No. No Jackson.
Look at these
hey,
girls.
Haircut.
What's up with that,
these
though?
Girls in swimsuits, he's dancing around.
Pisces. She's got a huge bush, too,
by the
way.
I was just going to say the same thing.
A lot of hair in this video. Looked like she was hiding something in there.
They got multiple Mamma Jammas in this little video. I don't think this would pass the test today. This might be considered kind of sexist.
Maybe.
But it's music. It's allowed to be.
That's true.
Mamma Jamma. Yeah.
Every. Ridiculous story in relation to this song. When I was in Roanoke, Virginia, K92 was... I worked at WROV, which was the old AM that had dominated until FM came along and just wiped out the AM band.
Ah.
I know, terrible. But WROV still did pretty well because...
You worked there.
I worked there, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And some other people, some older shows that had been people that were well-liked back in the day still listened. But K92 came in and just swamped most of the AMs and did giant shares. Anyway, they had this guy on at night, David Lee Michaels, the Southern rock legend. And he had an event at this club looking for the baddest mama in her jammies based on the song Bad Mamma Jamma.
Oh,
yeah, and it was very controversial because there were some very skanky mamas
nice.
In their jammies. Yes. I believe there's a big editorial in the paper about it.
Nice.
Whoa, really?
This went too far.
Oh, Lord.
I went too far.
It was like 1985.
Oh, imagine.
I know. And the funny thing was they promoted it for so long, and it was such a big deal. I drove by, and there were like... There were cars parked for miles to get to it. It was a big,
really?
Giant club.
People
yeah, there were
loved
cars
it.
Parked. Yeah, people were so psyched. Well, I told you about my first and only wet T-shirt contest I attended. How geeked people were. There was just this giant crowd. You couldn't even see anything. It was Mr. Foos.
Mr.
Foos in Blacksburg. And there were so many people there that you couldn't see because they were all crowded around. And you know, the girls weren't up on stages. And there was just some guy with a hose like going,
ah, jeez. Nice.
So ridiculous.
Radio.
I know. And surprisingly, the girls weren't that attractive. I don't know. It's weird.
Really?
I don't know what happened. I mean, you just naturally think that these super hot chicks are going to show up when you're 19, 20 or however old I was.
So when we used to do Shirt for Shirt.
Yeah.
Remember?
Of course.
Sort of related. Was there a no sports bra rule?
Yes, there was a no sports bra rule that was instituted. Yes. That was a very strict rule.
It wasn't. It's funny that that was so frowned upon then, but is it now as much? Or I guess no woman actually wears sports bras that are.
No, it was.
They're more attractive.
Just surprising to see someone coming to a Lions game in a sports bra. What the hell is that? What the hell?
What the hell is that?
Yeah. Okay, so I've been putting it off as long as I can for no reason whatsoever, other than that we've talked about Antonio Brown so much. Sports Illustrated decided, let's dig into Antonio Brown. It seems like there's a lot of stuff here. What do we know and what do we not know? And they talked to all kinds of people, like personal assistants, and there seems to be a revolving door of people who work for Antonio Brown. So, as it stands right now, there's 6 lawsuits against him for not paying people.
But
there's many more who say they weren't paid, including this chef. And that story is just incredible. There's a second woman who has an allegation of sexual assault. Some of these are so bad, too. He's at a charity event for this kind of community organization in Pittsburgh, I guess. And there's a portrait of Antonio Brown. And someone bids $450 to get it. And Antonio Brown, of course, is so taken by the portrait of himself.
He's in it.
That he says, I'm gonna just take that off your hands for $700 and I'm going to top that bid.
He buys his own portrait?
By the way, for a charity auction, I thought that was kind of a low winning bid. He could have
I thought so too.
I mean, wouldn't you think most athletes would go, $10,000 just to make everyone go, ooh.
No, I would think absolutely they would. And even if they didn't make a big deal.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Even if they didn't make a big deal of doing it publicly, they would privately write a check for $5,000 or something. So anyway, that was 2 years ago. He's never paid him. And they've tried to contact him through multiple people, and he apparently can't be reached, and he can't be bothered to pay for this charity event. And they said, you know, we really would hate to go to court over, you know, we like getting athletes involved in our events, and it sounds bad, but no, he didn't pay us. He stiffed us. Then
he liked the painting so much, though, that he hired the artist to.
Yeah, who just happens to be this really hot girl. And so he invites her to do a portrait of him on his wall at his house so he can have 2 portraits of himself. And so he provides transportation for her, agrees to pay her $1,000 a day, and I guess he's supposed to pose for her.
Yeah.
And at one point, while she's on her knees painting him on the wall, he comes up from behind her completely nude, except he has a hand towel, I guess, covering his penis. And
well, that's him all day.
Yeah, and she said she just ignored him.
Yeah, she just kept painting.
She just kept painting.
Oh, man, that must have hurt his pride.
And so he then announces that he has to leave and that he'll be back so she can finish this painting. And she had some other paintings there that he said he would help her promote on social media, and she had brought those. Well, she goes back to her life, and then, you know, hey, you know, we want to finish that. And he just ghosts her, completely ghosts her. And her paintings are his place, and so she's trying to, you know, can I at least get my paintings back?
Oh, man, she left them
and
there.
And she cannot get any kind of response. So,
hey, look at the bright side, though. He did pay her $2,000 for the 2 days.
He paid her for the 2 days. That's true. That's amazing because he doesn't generally pay people.
Big surprise.
But he also has her paintings, and it would also appear that because she didn't appreciate him walking nude, pulling the nude move on her while she was painting, that he no longer has any interest in anything, in her finishing the portrait.
I guess it was a big pile of BS
to get laid.
I know. That's a lot to go through to get laid, don't you think?
Yeah. I got the feeling that she
paid
was probably
for her to come from New York. And
I know. It's very strange. Then they have, were you going to say, Trudy?
I was just going to say, did he maybe just want her to turn around and go, oh my gosh? I mean, sort of reacted and then gone back to painting rather than ignoring, and maybe he would have been satisfied or placated or
well
shown like
this is the thing about
astonishment.
Antonio Brown, she mentioned that while she was there, a lot of women came and left.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Apparently just disappeared in the bedroom with him and then would just get dressed, go home, whatever. I mean, she made it sound like a pretty crazy scene, and so I don't think he expects women to say no.
Oh, I see.
And it's just so... Anyway. Then they describe the three domestic violence calls in the past 4 years. His baby mama, Chelsea Kyrus, who he has three kids with. One incident where he threw a cologne bottle at her and threw a lotion bottle at her. And I guess she doesn't press charges. She just calls the police. They show up. Then there was...
She didn't want to press charges because she was afraid of hurting his career.
Yes.
She's the one with the credit card.
Which is what a lot of these people do. Yeah. A lot of these professional athletes do. Oh, my God, you'll ruin my career. And I'm sure a lot of people do that. They just, you know, poor me. You know, I'm the victim. Then he calls the police because she has his Range Rover and his credit card, and that was the whole thing about him leaving her with no money with three kids. Then the Hollywood police are called because Wiltrese Jackson, baby mama number two, I don't know how many baby mamas there are. I know there's at least two.
I think it's just the two.
Okay. She came to his home because he wouldn't reimburse her for, they mentioned the daughter's hair appointment. I don't know if it was just that, but that's all that was mentioned. He would not let her in his home. And then there was yelling from outside the house and inside the house. So he finally comes out, shoves her, causes her to fall. And I guess she scratched her forearm or cut her forearm or something. And so police were called. And again, no charges were filed. Then on the non-domestic violence front in 2018, he called the Sunny Isles, Florida police 3 days in a row. The first day said a handgun and $80,000 had been stolen.
$80,000 at his
in
house?
$80,000 in cash in a duffel bag.
Yeah, in a bag. Ready to
been
go.
Stolen.
Whoa.
The second day, they were called because furniture was being thrown from his 14th floor balcony. Uh-huh. That's when the child, it was a 22-month-old child. Actually, it wasn't a 3-year-old. It was less than 2-year-old that was almost hit, who was walking with his grandfather. And...
Like when, that could have been me.
When they showed up.
Actual audio.
He was screaming, and they said he was extremely agitated. He was angry at the building security, and he was all mad. And these cops are like, you're throwing stuff off the 14th floor balcony, and you're not even looking at what's down below. What the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, he wasn't charged.
I don't know what he was angry about, but isn't there a part of you that feels that'd be kind of, I mean, you don't want to hurt anybody, but it'd be kind of satisfying chucking things off of the.
Yeah,
I suppose. I mean, David Letterman used to do it all the time, but they made sure nobody was down below.
Right. Kind of satisfying in a fit of rage, just chuck things off of a tall balcony.
But then to act like you're mad at other people.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
stupid.
Seems that people should be mad at you for throwing. And by the way, this was a rented place, and he's throwing their furniture off the balcony. Which he hasn't paid them for, and there's a big lawsuit involving that too.
Oh,
then
surprise.
The third day in a row. He calls and says his Rolls Royce has been stolen.
Oh, my God.
The police.
How come everybody's stealing everything from this?
I know. And it's crazy. And the police arrive. They knock on the door. He cracks the door and says, I found the car, and shut the door in their face.
Oh, what a dick.
So many people have been stealing my money.
Then shortly after that, he calls police from his home in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania.
I didn't do this stuff.
And says his safe with $50,000 and $2 million worth of jewelry has been stolen by his personal assistant, Sam Williams. He says that Sam Williams is the only person that had access to his safe, which they found out was not true, by the way. And so they had said, well, you can take a polygraph, which he agreed to do. He passed the polygraph. And then Antonio Brown owed him a lot of money for work, which he refused to pay him. And Sam Williams said that's his big move. He accuses you of doing something that you didn't do, and then he justifies not paying you by saying, oh, well, he stole my safe with $2 million.
Well, get used to it, because that's my main move.
So fuck him. Yeah, that's his big move.
Wow, that was a good move.
Then Dr. Prisk, the wellness guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who he farted of that in his fart. Face. Yeah, he received the fart.
Smelly, but I love it.
Also, he also spent... He spent a lot of time looking for a place for their business interest, which it turned out was fake. And Antonio Brown owes him $11,500, which he hasn't paid him and refuses to pay him.
I didn't do this stuff.
And his big move, too, is he ghosts everyone. You can't get a hold of him. His assistants won't call you back. In fact, the artist, the hot artist that he pulled the nude move on, she said that, you know, these people were only too happy to do anything. You know, she said they were extremely accommodating. And then all of a sudden, they just wouldn't respond to anything. Even, can I pick up my paintings? No, nothing. Then is
use your common sense.
He hired a speed trainer who,
I think this is the guy that was on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, he was never paid $7,200 that he was owed for working with Antonio Brown.
I'm going to start a new account, and that's the way it is.
His personal attendant and valet says that he charged $16,000 of expenses on his own credit card with the promise that Brown would not only pay him for his work, but also reimburse him
other
expenses. And he ghosted him. So he's out $16,000 on his credit card, in addition to the pay that he was not given for his work. And he has also been ghosted. Then AquaWorld Pet Center, he wanted a 220-gallon tank filled with piranha, which they provided.
What?
Only to be called months later after midnight. He declared he had an emergency, and this guy needed to come out immediately. And the guy who owns AquaWorld showed up and said, oh, yeah, there's a problem. All your piranha are dead because you didn't feed them. And also there's algae all over the tank because you didn't maintain it at all. And so Antonio Brown said, well, I don't want to discontinue this bullshit. And he said, okay. And you still owe me the $2,000 for the tank and the piranha, which he never paid.
That's stupid.
I love how he wants to discontinue it when the fish are dead.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, the story was just, it just goes on and on and on and on. And I almost could have just skipped all that stuff and just gone to the end because the last story
Child.
Yeah.
No, he's a criminal.
Yeah.
Well, he is a criminal.
He's a grown up who acts like a child.
Perpetrates frauds on people to steal services from them or goods. And additionally, it appears to be a serial sexual assaulter of some kind. Now, I'm sure many people and will continue to say that, oh, this girl just wants money. The girl who was talking to the NFL today, Brittany Taylor, who got married over the weekend and was also quote unquote, training him.
What a fun honeymoon.
And, you know,
to be interviewed by the NFL.
After reading about the artist and that whole thing, I definitely got the feeling that Antonio Brown just wanted her for one thing, and it really wasn't about the training. And when he didn't get the consensual sex he wanted, he just decided, fuck her, I'm not paying her, and get out of here.
I'm just waiting for more stories to come out.
I imagine they will, because these people are all afraid of him.
I expect to hear stories from his Central days, from Central Michigan days.
I'm not sure he was as big an asshole then.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
This article is really interesting, how he got there. And, you know, he had, what, one garbage bag full of clothes and that's it? Because he was homeless and blah, blah, blah.
Well, they made it sound like he really needs someone who is a mentor, who is always around him.
That's interesting.
Or else he goes off the rails.
There was one part former Michigan State police officer was kind of that guy. And he died about a year ago. A little over a year ago, and that's when a lot of this stuff started happening.
Yeah, a lot of it is 2017, 2018, 2019, definitely.
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart, because my heart is so big.
But
he and R. Kelly should be roomies.
Pot, aren't they?
No, they should.
That would be so much fun. You know, like a reality series?
I flew in on a helicopter.
It does sound like Mike Tomlin put up with a lot of shit that nobody ever heard about, and he was criticized for being too forgiving of his chronic lateness to meetings and to games, and that Antonio's thing is that when he gets upset, he'll say to coach, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I'm from. Well, I think it's nice to know those things, when you're on a team and everyone conforms to certain rules, nobody really cares about that. you still have to live within a system. And that's pretty much anywhere you work. So where Brown comes from, a childhood of poverty or intermittent homelessness in Miami-Dade County, and it sounds terrible, is a topic he has not often delved into. Information is scattered, uncorroborated, but it's been reported that his stepfather kicked him out of their home during his teenage years, and he spent months at a time sleeping on teammates' couches. So on and on and on.
Y'all just don't want to believe the truth.
I'm just looking for that last story about the chef.
It's before that part.
Yeah, it's right before that. There we go. Okay. In early 2019, Antonio Brown hired Stefano Tedeschi, a Central Florida mainstay known as Chef Steph, to cook for him and his friends in a rented Florida mansion during Pro Bowl week in Orlando. Do you get the impression, Antonio Brown, that he lives paycheck to paycheck the way he blows money out of his ass, even though he never pays anyone?
It sure sounds like
he spends a lot of money on lodging.
Yeah.
Because he's got all these houses, and he rents these places for insane amounts. And
I'm sure he's got some wise investments.
I don't know why he needs... Yeah.
What? You know?
I don't know why he needs 8,000 square feet of space everywhere, because his kids don't live with him.
No, I know. Because he can.
I guess.
That's why it's going to be a shock when he doesn't have money.
Why he has $2 million of jewelry. Well, because he wants to. He has a Rolls Royce. He's got a Range Rover. Mm-hmm. He's got a Rolls Royce. Great investment, Rolls Royce. anyway, he hires Chef Steph to cook for him and his friends at a rented Florida mansion during Pro Bowl week in Orlando. He has previously lived and worked in Pittsburgh, knew of Brown's diva reputation in the business community, which it sounds like that is just not a secret at all. He connected former Steelers linebacker and then Cardinals assistant coach Larry Foote. We all know Larry. Yep. A close friend with Brown during their first sit-down. On speakerphone, Foote told Brown that Tedeschi was the best and urged Brown to treat him well. So I wasn't worried about getting paid. Brown said he had a photo of Larry Foote in his locker, so that told me he respected him. When Brown asked Tedeschi if he'd be willing to host a party with 40 to 50 other Pro Bowlers at the home, Tedeschi warned that he'd charge by the head. He came up and asked me. He was very sweet about it. Brown told him, "I'm not worried about money. That's not an issue. You know that." Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Tedeschi and crew prepared antipasta, jumbo cocktail shrimp with homemade cocktail sauce and tenderloin filet. Oh, that sounds good.
I want to eat all that.
No, I'm getting hungry. Could we get the chef over, Chef Steph over here, please?
Danny didn't leave a chocolate, by the way, that random complaint.
Oh.
Oh, he did.
Oh, Brandon was secreting it.
There you go, Trudy.
Oh, well, I just need one.
There's two Nestle's bars.
That's one for you then, Drew.
Danny and these sweets, my God. He's like me at the B-52s concert.
Oh, you and your nuts.
Well, that was all they had. All I could find was the pecan lady, and she had those chocolate-covered pretzels. I was starving. I'm like, pecans are a good start, but do you have anything else? And then she shows me the chocolate-covered pretzels and those peanuts with the red
coating. The Spanish peanuts?
Those were really good. I mean, they're kind of hard, but they
did you ever think of asking
that? Actually, the B-52s would have fallen on their asses. If
they would have. You're right.
Why didn't you ask her if where the other food stands?
Well, I saw some really long lines where I thought the other food stand was, and she was like, there's nobody around her. And the pecans, I've had those. I used to get them at Michigan basketball games
delicious.
All the time. I like them.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, tenderloin filet with mushroom gravy. Brown expressed that he was ecstatic with the chef's performance, promising to promote him on social media. He always makes a big promise that he likes to make, too.
Oh, right.
I'm going to make you famous. Tedeschi says that as service people tending to various aspects of the vacation rental came in and out of the house throughout the week, he overheard Brown say on more than one occasion, "Get those motherfucking crackers out of here."
What?
That's what he called the general manager of the Oakland Raiders, also was a cracker, which is a racial slur, although no one cares, apparently. Unfamiliar with the term, Tedeschi asked his wife to Google whether or not cracker was a slur.
Really?
Tedeschi's wife raised concerns with her husband when she heard Brown quietly referring to women at the festivities as fucking bitches. During the party, a handful of players, including Antonio Brown, were using the top floor to host women. Several players openly smoked pot. Meanwhile, Brown's children were in attendance. Oh, that's nice.
That's great, yeah.
A concierge, angered by what she saw, complained to his Kyris, his baby mama of the three kids, chastising her for tolerating the scene. In other words, these players banging these girls.
My kids, listen to this.
Including Antonio Brown, calling women fucking bitches with these kids around. And she is apparently his girlfriend, and she doesn't mind him upstairs banging chicks and calling people motherfucking crackers, whatever. She did not respond to requests for comment on the story. The next day, Tedeschi says one of Brown's personal assistants, whom the chef identified as Brian Davis, told him, when you speak to Mr. Brown, you don't look him in the eye.
Oh, boy. One of those.
Where do people get this, by the way? Do people just go, I'm so important, I hate these people all looking me in the eye?
Diana Ross started it.
Do they hear that Diana Ross did it and go, hey, that's really cool. I'm going to make sure. If she deserves to have no one look her in the eye, then I deserve the same treatment. I mean, so honestly, where would Antonio Brown decide that? He's on a football team, for crying out loud. Stunned, the 55-year-old Tedeschi ignored the man who was some 30 years his junior. Imagine you're 25 years old, your assistant, Antonio Brown's assistant, and you're telling the chef, do not look Antonio Brown in the eyes, please. Yeah. You've been looking him in the eyes. He does not appreciate that. As Brown looked on, smirking, Davis began to yell, when you speak to Mr. Brown, you don't look him in the eye.
Well,
I mean, how fucking humiliating. I guess that was the idea, was to humiliate the chef.
Yeah.
Tedeschi says he nearly quit on the spot. That's when I realized I probably wasn't getting paid, he says. Davis would not respond to a request for comment. Later afternoon, Brown found a severed salmon head, which Tedeschi was saving to use in a soup, in the freezer. According to Tedeschi, Brown accused the chef of making a mafia-style threat against his life. Brown subsequently...
That's quite a leap.
Well, that's what he does. He makes an accusation, and then he uses that to not pay.
But don't you feel like you're almost giving him too much credit? Like, that's his whole plan? Because it just really seems like if he doesn't want to pay people, he's not going to go through a whole song and dance about it.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just going
about what
he probably
thought it was some kind of threat.
He's creative, though, when he comes up with these ideas.
The one guy accused of stealing from his safe who took the polygraph at the police station.
That.
I love how he just doesn't mind just wasting the police's time every day. Brown subsequently refused to pay the $38,000 owed to the chef, according to the civil complaint today she filed. I did not want to file a lawsuit. Your chef suing a celebrity. It doesn't look good. Other people are going to doubt me now because of this. I tried every olive branch. I offered to come down and cook for him for free in South Florida after I get paid. Nothing. Says James Smith, Tedeschi's attorney, you'll start to see a pattern where Antonio lures people in initially, and at first he appears to be very gregarious and appreciative of whatever service he's seeking, and then at some point when the bill is due, he creates division or confrontation in an effort to avoid having to meet his financial obligation. It's a pattern of entitlement and narcissism. Certainly, Brown's use of the word cracker to describe a white person will sound familiar to anyone who followed his strange journey from Pittsburgh to Oakland, New England, and blah, 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 blah. I guess he called Mike Mayock a fucking motherfucking cracker and threatened to punch him, which he says may have also been a ploy just to get him released by the team. But so, that's why that whole sequence of events, I don't know. I just can't imagine people threatening to punch Quinn in the face and calling him a motherfucking cracker and then playing the next week. That just doesn't seem that it would follow.
Now, worried about him post-career when he can't make money playing football. He can make money other ways, though.
Well,
not after we learn that he's been sexually assaulting people.
Joe Valeri, how you doing? This your boy AB reminding you to keep business booming. Joe started his own business called the Doe Dog Care. And I wanted to remind you, Joe, that you are the best premier dog sitter in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I see. Is that how he gets it for free?
Continue to represent, value yourself, value your skills.
Oh, it's a cameo.
He hasn't been kicked out of the cameo family yet.
Wait, Antonio Brown does cameos?
He's been doing it for a long time.
What's he get paid? $1,000?
He's not available right now.
Oh, I see.
Antonio Brown here. I'm super excited to be a part of Cameo.
Oh, he's good.
Making amazing videos. Type in with me right now.
Amazing.
Apparently, all of his endorsements have disappeared.
I would like to wish all independent brokers everywhere a happy National Mortgage Brokers Day. I want to inspire you to keep working hard, never give up, and stay focused. Your dreams, your goals are right in front of you. Boom.
Are there any more?
Hey, Mr. Man Cave fans and Raider Nation. If you're looking for authentic signed member beer from me, check out MrManCave.com. I recently signed some great things for them. So go online.
Oh, cool.
And check
it's probably
it out.
On a bunch of Raider
Boom.
Gear.
I'm sure he studied the business, too. That's the great thing. I'm sure he's vetted.
Hey, Hayden, what's
he's
up?
$500.
It's your boy AB, man. I'm in the gym late night.
And I got a call from your brother, Kellen, to wish you a happy 18th birthday.
18th birthday?
Super excited about your commitment to the University of Catholic University for lacrosse next year. You work your ass off, and we're super proud of you and great for an older brother like you. And I hear you obsessed with your hair. Continue to keep it booming, keep it inspiring.
Yeah.
Enjoy your 18th, man. You got a bright future. Keep business booming.
What?
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear this your second anniversary.
THs.
Wedding. I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney, and your birthday is here.
Does everyone really say that
the person celebrate you today?
Working this hard?
Hope your birthday is booming.
Is it birthday?
Booming? Why is his birthday booming?
Wait a second. Is it birthday or anniversary?
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear this your second anniversary.
It's both.
Wedding.
Wedding.
I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney.
One take, Antonio.
And your birthday is here. Happy birthday.
And your birthday is here.
He's really good at this. He's really good at this.
Happy B-Day, baby. From your boy, AB, number 84. Sorry I can't make the party, but I won't be in town. Enjoy seeing those titties next year because business is booming.
Titties.
Touchdown faces all day.
I said titties.
How is everything booming?
That's just Bill, his catchphrase.
All these people ask him
keep
to say
your head
that.
Up, baby. Like your nose bleeding. Because this year, we're going to the Super Bowl. Hey, Russ. AB here. I was thinking about what could make a Chicago Bear. And I was talking to my friend Ed, and he gave me the remedy. Performance. Performance-based fees. AB is all about performance.
Yeah.
Should Aeon be the same? Have a great day, Russ. PBF, you heard?
Yeah. Okay.
Mike.
Great guy.
I want to congratulate you on a great career for being number one for so long. I hope this message doesn't put you to sleep like Sweeney did.
I don't know.
I'll play it.
Hey, Howie. The league and Kojo wishes you a happy 50th. They say you are the worst commission fantasy football, but I hope one day... You can finally win the title.
33 steal.
I know you are a big fan and would love for me to win a Super Bowl in your 50th year. Go Raiders. Boom.
Is he reading this?
Hey, incarcerated ball.
Usually I have some information.
Or does this always sound this natural?
I'm coming sharp on Twitter. We just want to salute you and show our respect as you continue to make these haters so mad. Secure the bad. Much love to the world. We think about you all day, every day.
The whole world?
Don't give in. Keep your sanity for a second. We'll save us soon. Built from the heart of the country. Built for the heart of the country. Colorado, stand up.
What is he telling? He's just saying words. All right, last one here.
Hey, Vance and Lori, a.k.a. Mr. and Mrs. Big Chest. Congratulations on the wedding. I also heard you two are the best musty fishing duo in the nation. Keep that marriage of musty fishing booming. Let's raise a glass and a toast to the newlyweds. Mr. and Mrs. Big Chest, Vance and Lori.
Well, if they play that at the wedding, I don't think that aged very well.
They're musty fishers?
Musky?
He said musty.
I don't know. Well, yeah, who knows what he's saying. You got to translate it, Trudy.
And by the way, while you were on there, I noticed that Todd Bridges is now on there, different strokes.
Oh, great.
$75 for him. Fergie Jenkins.
Oh,
Fergie's
whoa.
On there.
$150.
That's a bargain for Fergie.
CeeLo Green for
$200. CeeLo.
Fuck you.
Is he hurting for money?
I don't know. Ryan Leaf.
Sweet.
For $50.
He's hurting for money.
You hear one from Ryan?
He hasn't done any yet because no one wants one from
boy.
I want one.
Let's see.
Seems like Ryan Leaf here.
That'd be a good joke
I'm
one.
New to Cameo, but you can reach out here for messages for friends or family, especially those who are having sober birthdays and things in the recovery world. But if you want to talk football or just say, hey, reach out here. All proceeds will go to my foundation, the Focused Intensity Foundation, where we raise money.
No way.
I like Ryan Leaf now. The guy's come full circle. He's been through absolute hell. Remember, he just walked into that person's house and just stole all their drugs and walked out?
No, he was a disaster.
Check this one out.
Maybe he helped that person.
Remember me? I'm the old guy. Mr. Know-it-all. The coach. Actually, I forgot most of what I do know.
But
listen, if you want some real information, book me on Cameo. I'll give you... the real facts of what's going on in the NFL or anywhere else.
The real facts, really? You have to go to Cameo?
He doesn't do birthdays?
Standing in front of, like, window treatments, like sweeping drapes and stuff.
We'll see who the gutless wonder is.
Looks like quite a throne he's got there.
We should buy one from Morasso and yell at him again.
500 bucks. 500 bucks for Dicka.
Oh, gee, really? He doesn't make enough from the steak. Does he still have a steakhouse?
Yeah, he's always doing always doing inventory.
He was doing inventory when Joey called him.
That was the speculation, because that's what it sounded like.
I always ask every time I go to Ditka's, because I love Ditka's. I love a good steak, and they have great steaks. But I always say, yeah, was Coach been around? And they go, yeah, he was just here about last week for a day or two, and you know, he was playing some golf, and I think he's in Florida now.
Bullshit. Know, it's like, when he dies, they're going to say that.
Probably. Oh, man. So yesterday, there was the No Circ people were out.
Oh, yeah, our buddy Norm.
You know, between
Norm loves us.
Between the No Circ people and the pro-life people, I really think some of these protests on Woodward are just not a great idea, because there's a lot of kids driving by. And when you see someone standing in a like a white jumpsuit with a big red blood stain where the crotch is, it just would seem to lead to questions.
I can't wait to get questions like that from Charlotte. I'm serious.
And they're carrying giant signs too. Genital mutilation happens to boys too. Recall alert. Circumcision.
Recall alert. No. That's pretty bad. And that's like OJ. They need a rebate.
And by the way, you know, they make a big point that, you know, female circumcision, they go after those people, and yet people do male circumcision all the time.
Totally different.
The female circumcision, the girls are 7 or 8 years old. They remember what happens, and you have people touching their genitals and cutting them.
I know.
And those people all got off.
With the intent, right, to desensitize as well?
Yes. Pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a desensitive? Well, you guys wouldn't know, but.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I don't know. I mean, yes, there are some horrible stories from women.
Circumcised?
No, I mean,
men. Hippie whiners.
No. Oh, well, you know,
you'd never know.
That's the interesting part of it, is that I don't know that I'd want to be any more sensitive.
Exactly. I know, it's pretty sensitive enough.
When everybody blowing up when women take their
bras off.
Exactly.
I want to be less off. Is there anything else I can do to make it less sensitive?
Oh, my God.
I mean, besides wear a condom.
I mean, if what's his name, Kavanaugh were uncircled when that woman swatted it, he would have blown up. It would have been a much worse story.
Wait, so we're supposed to wait. Is Kavanaugh cirked or uncirked based on that logic?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, he would be cirked.
Yeah, because they would have pointed out that he blew up. And when they forced it into that girl's hand, it would have already blown up twice.
Oh, Lord.
All those hands on it.
Oh, no. Oh, God. I love how Norm is just so focused on the sensitivity aspect in the story.
Some passing drivers waved or gave a thumbs up, some honked, some yelled profanities, and many stared at the men, women, and children who protested.
Do you think they're mistaking ironic honking for honks of support?
Yes.
Because I would honk.
Some of whom donned white bodysuits with a red stain in the crotch and held signs saying, "Only quacks cut healthy children, and cut a girl, go to jail. Cut a boy, get paid."
Oh, my God.
They threw that case out, though.
They did. Let's see. Norm Cohen, founder of No Circ of Michigan.
Loves
us. Bets, benefits
loves,
to staying
Norm
intact.
Loves us.
First and foremost, you get to have a whole penis. Most men want a whole penis.
Whole penis.
God, what a hill to die on, that dude's.
I know. Pretty intense.
So, like, dug in.
We evolved as mammals with a foreskin.
God, look at him. Oh, jeez.
We don't have any extra parts.
I took exception to this. We have plenty of extra parts, right? We don't need a pancreas, do we? Do we need a pancreas?
Oh, yeah, you need your pancreas.
A pancreas, oh, yeah.
Or not an appendix, I'm sorry.
Appendix,
an
appendix?
No.
We don't need an appendix.
Optional.
Do we need tonsils?
No.
Yeah, so we have plenty of extra parts.
This is an ancient ritual that predates medicine. It's not done
balls.
With...
You don't need balls.
It's not done with consent. There's no other body part that is cut preemptively without a diagnosis.
Yeah, the diagnosis looks silly.
I know, here we go. Boy, if uncircled Randy's still out there, he's going to come back with a vengeance. Michigan has male circumcision rates of about 85% of men. For comparison, about 71% of American males, 91% of Israeli males, and 97% of Saudi Arabian males are circumcised, according to the National Institute of Health.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a big thing in the Muslim religion.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that either. Protester Nora Plank.
Couldn't the Israel and Palestine come together over their love of circumcision?
Yeah. No,
they do. This is a common
bond.
They're
all circ'd.
Protester Nora Plank said she began to doubt the practice of circumcision when she birthed her son 30 years ago. A midwife gave her a brochure against circumcision, and Plank decided to keep her son intact.
Oh, that poor kid.
Before that, I thought everybody in the world did it, she said. Well, she has a kid.
That kid's hiding in gym class.
I know how it went in the shower in the seventh grade.
Yeah. Can you imagine his first experience?
I know.
I think that's an issue.
I the hope she sat him down. Was like,
She sat him down and said, a lot of women will be freaked out by this, just so you know.
What do you mean?
And run away.
Just fluff it so it looks like... You know, yeah, the moms have to teach the kids about fluffing.
Oh, how awkward.
I know, it's really awkward. I heard a lot of people talk about it.
Speaking of...
anyone for penis?
Speaking of balls, did you see Rod Stewart beat ball cancer, he announced today?
What?
He beat it? I thought he had prostate cancer.
He had prostate cancer a few years ago.
Really?
And
testicular?
And he came out of the closet, he said, to announce that he had beaten testicular
cancer. Should we call Randy Fowler for comment?
Oh, good idea. Or the guy who plays Rod Stewart, one of the two Rod Stewart impersonators.
Oh, the guy here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find out how he...
I haven't seen that guy in a long time.
A
Where is he?
Ridiculous reason to call him.
I know.
He had to have been at Woodward Dream Cruise. That's where I saw him last.
He used to always be at Pine Knot.
Every
PT.
Event.
If we called Randy Fowler about it, he'd say, I'm not a Rod Stewart impersonator. No. And then we'd be in that argument again.
Yeah, we had
and then
a 20
he'd say,
minute
let me tell you about my father.
After listen to the first five chapters of his book.
We talked to him for 20 minutes about his Rod Stewart impersonating business and that you could choose his outfit.
I kind of admire the fact that he's denying it all now.
I know, it's pretty amazing. India's first farting contest wants to judge how loud and melodic your stinker is.
Oh.
A movement to free the fart and normalize the natural body process is gaining gas in...
Brandon, you should enter.
Jarrett? Yeah, Brandon. Brandon is he's an early adopter.
I think Antonio Brown should enter.
Yeah.
Hello. I gotta stay away.
Me think should enter.
Do you think
it's kind of like the one thing he's really good at?
Methane?
No, Antonio Brown.
Well, catching footballs.
Free the fart.
Yeah.
Do you think they know about Mr. Methane in India?
I don't know. I don't know if he's ever performed there.
If he showed up and just blew their
what's
minds.
The rules here? What do you got to do? Loudest,
prizes are being given to those whose farts are the loudest, longest, and most musical.
Musical.
Oh, he'd win all three.
Except he's British, and there's a thing between the two.
Well,
that's true.
They colonized him.
There's a new craze.
That's why they speak English.
Fart imperialism.
What the fart? WTF? A farting contest. Set to be the first of its kind, will be held in the city of Surat on September 22nd. That's coming right up.
All right,
you want to dial up Methane?
We gotta call him. We gotta find out.
Remind me, we gotta call Andy Dick too.
What time is it over there?
Who cares?
He's there.
Nah, he's up.
He's not busy. I hope so. His sister's.
I hope his sister's not there.
Are you scared to call Mr. Methane too?
Me? What? Yeah. No, I was just wondering. I mean, if it's like. What, no,
it's
two in the morning?
It's 11:20 or so. I mean, I don't know.
It's fine. He goes to bed late. He's probably farting all day.
Well, I'm feeling windy. Yes, I'm bubbling high. Gonna splay my buttocks. Show my big brown eyes. Time to deliver a thunderquake.
If he answers, let him know we don't need him to fart. He gets really upset without a warning.
So stop everybody, I got one on the way. It's flatulation.
Hello, this is Paul. Please leave a message after the tone.
He could be asleep.
And I will get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you very much.
Mr. Methane! It's the Drew and Mike Show. And we're just listening to some of your great music and farts. And we were calling to see if you were aware of India's farting contest. It's September 22nd in, let's see, what city is it?
I'm assuming because he didn't answer, he's already on the way to India.
Yeah, obviously.
To dominate.
Hello? Hello?
Oh!
Hello?
Yes, there he is!
Just a minute. Just let me get to another phone. Hang
okay.
on.
Oh, okay.
I need a hand spray. Just a minute.
Okay.
Now I assume he was just packing to get in to go to India. Hopefully.
That's yeah, I assumed we'd hear from him when he got back.
How's that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great.
How are
you?
Good.
That's good. Hang on. Just let me put this down. Who's there tonight? I could hear Drew's voice.
Mark's here.
Right.
And Trudy.
Hiya,
and
Mark.
Brandon and Joey. Full house.
Brandon and Joey. So it says Trudy's not there tonight.
Yeah, she's here.
She's here.
Hey, Mr. Methane.
Oh, it's a full compliment. Oh, wow. What's this? I don't know anything about this.
What? Yes, it's in the city of Surat, September 22nd. It's called What the Fart. And they said it's a movement to free the fart and normalize the natural body process. It's gaining gas in India with prizes being given to those whose farts are the loudest, longest, and most musical.
Yours.
If you'll pardon the pun, I haven't got wind of this at all.
They don't want you to know. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
It's strange, and it's on the is this on the 22nd?
Yes.
Of this month?
Yes.
Can you make it?
Oh. I doubt it. I mean, God, what is it now? It's the 18th, isn't it, today?
Yeah.
And it's in India.
I wonder if maybe there's some way to make a call and find out, because I got to believe they would want you there. It would help promote the thing.
They would have to have you there.
So they've not. Nobody's been in touch, or I had no idea. Surat, is that in India, or is that Pakistan, or...
They say it's
I'm
India.
I'm not sure.
It says India. I'm not real familiar. I mean, I really don't know that much about it. We just found out about it and just felt
we had to make sure
you knew about it.
I should know, coming from the country that colonized the place, shouldn't you, really?
It's slightly north of Mumbai.
it's ridiculous, isn't it, you know? Englishmen lie awake at night dreaming of recreating the empire through Brexit, you know.
Maybe that's why they didn't tell you, though, because they're like, oh, he's going to come here and own us again.
That's true.
Well, do you know what? You couldn't get a bigger fool than our current prime minister. Do you know what I mean? I've given up on the international stage now because, you know, we've got a proper clown. So,
oh,
you know, everything I do is pales into insignificance, you know, compared to what
that's why we need you more than ever.
Boris.
Probably do, actually, but I think Donald likes him, doesn't he? The Donald thinks he's quite nice.
Yeah, of course he does. But I think at times like this, you know, when you feel like everything has just completely gone south, that's when people like you are more important than ever to keep your mind off it. Instead of, you know, we have all these people, Mr. Methane over here, who scream at each other. It seems like everyone's screaming all the time. And sometimes I think we just need to shut up and enjoy the other things, at least while the crap is going on. I mean,
everybody loves a fart except for Dina Santafanti.
Yeah, you know, this is what I remember. I can't remember who this comedian was, but he said he stopped doing satire when Henry Kissinger won the Nobel Peace Prize. I can't remember who that was, but I also remember Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, and his little fart toy.
During the Vietnam War, he stayed clear of politics. You know, he just kept being Les, because he said, at the end of this war, he says, people are going to be sick of talking about the Vietnam War and politics. He said, so I'm just going to do comedy to take people's mind off it. And he came through for him. You know, people got sick of the whole political situation. So maybe it can work again. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you're right. I mean, I don't do anything really political. You know what I mean? Because I think the fart is an international language that, like you say, it unites. In England, you know, we've got this, those that want to remain, those that want to leave, and the fart bridges the gap, you know.
Of course it does.
Remain as like it and leave as like it, you know. So maybe I should be in these negotiations over in Europe with Jean-Claude Juncker, you know. and just uniting the whole sides with with a colon cough.
Mr. Meathan, have you had many performances lately? Have you been doing gigs?
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, Drew. A week before, I went to. I presented the award. Well, I did the presentations at the Swedish Television Awards. I suppose that. What's it? In England, they call the BAFTAs. And in, what do they call? Are they the Golden Globes in America?
Or the Emmys?
Emmys, that's it.
Or no, the Oscars, because it's film, right?
Right, yes. But we have the BAFTAs.
Yeah, we
have the BAFTAs, British Academy of Film and Television. Yes, yeah. So these are called the. Chris in Stockholm, Sweden, they're called the Kristallen Awards, and I did the sort of the presentation for the TV Personality of the Year.
Really?
Yeah, because but apparently, you see, in the 1990s, I set a new low watermark for Swedish television, which opened the door. It had been very straight until I arrived, and commercial television came along in the 90s. And until then, Swedish TV had been very like a 1950s BBC TV broadcast with, I don't know, Winston Churchill going, never, in the field, you know, human conflict. And suddenly, they had these new sort of style shows on, and me coming, being invited over and farting God Save the Queen in front of the Swedish foreign minister, apparently blew the doors open.
Sweet.
And anything was on the menu after that. You know, it just in the way that, do you remember in Howard Stern's show, it started all the shock jocks, didn't it? You know what I mean? It set this new sort of like, we can go there sort of thing.
And it was quite a gradual process, and it took a long time.
Well, I think it was overnight. I think Sweden was catching up, you see. Do you know what I mean? So it was suddenly like...
When you presented this award, did you manage to get a fart in at least?
Well, what they did is they had this bit of a preamble, bit of a roll VT, you know, and they talked to Robert, who was the David Letterman or the Jay Leno of Swedish chat shows, and they chatted to him. And at the end, he said, "You know, he said the Pruto, because I'm called the Pruto Man in Sweden, Pruto Man, which I mean is farting man in Swedish." And so he says, "Pruto Man was the moment that TV changed in Sweden. His appearance changed everything, and then." They cut back to the host, and, you know, and there's a man and a woman, and she's laughing. She goes, I wonder what he's doing now, the Pruto Man. And the other host says in Swedish, well, I know exactly what he's doing. He's here now, you know. And she walks off in disgust, and then he wheels me out on this sort of stretcher, you know. And there's a band playing, Da-do-ron-ron, so you go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And then I say, I'm ready, let's do it. So the band kicks in, you know, and obviously, and then I say, yeah, and he says, but you're not here for this, are you, really? I said, no, the reason I'm here tonight, I think his name was David. He'd be really upset if he's listening to this and I've forgotten his name. I said, the reason I'm here tonight, David, is I'm here to present the nominations for the Swedish TV Personality of the Year. And then you do that thing where you point at the camera and put that that cheesy grin you put on.
Teleprompter or whatever.
That's it, we've all done it. And you just smile a bit, and sometimes I think they superimpose that ding on your teeth, you know.
Yeah, a little sparkle.
Ding, Colgate, you know. I'm allowed to mention Colgate,
yes,
you know.
Sure.
I think mine's more Colongate than Colgate.
Well, I can't believe you're such a cultural touchstone in that country. That's fantastic.
Well, and all the Scandinavian countries.
Well, I'm going next month. I'm going over to Germany. I can't speak about that one either at the moment. But I'm over in Germany because it's not being broadcasting. It's a surprise thing.
Okay.
For like a type of TV format. So I better keep that one sort of
yeah.
Keep it in my pants.
That's okay. I'll tell you what, we just want to let you know about the farting contest, and if you can go out with a fart, it'd be nice. I mean, I don't want to put you under too much pressure.
You know, normally when someone says you've caught me with my trousers down, it means you've caught me with my trousers up. I've just come in, actually. I've just been shopping. I always go shopping late because it's quiet, you know. Uh-huh. You don't have to queue at the checkout.
People want you to fart on demand if out at the, you know, shopping.
I know. It's just like, you know, you can imagine Muhammad Ali's just sort of like limbered down for night. He said, come on, Ali, we just want you to go, you know, get... we want to recreate that fifth round with, I don't know, he fought all sorts of people, didn't he? He fought Henry Cooper, and I'm going to put you on speakerphone.
Yes.
I've gone into the, it's good acoustics, I've gone into the stairs where I've got like a chandelier
good,
in it.
Good echo.
I don't know if you can tell, it echoes a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
It's like Bonham, didn't Bonham record in the stairwell?
Yeah.
The echo? Oh, I don't know, but well, yes. I don't know about that, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did,
Oh, right, well, this is a place. You could do the, you know, the all the Motown stuff in there, you know, all that clapping on Baby Love and all that, you know. Baby, baby, baby. I got to put you on speaker. Are you on speaker?
Yeah, we hear you.
We can hear you.
Sure.
I got that. Can you hear you? Can I hear you? Give us a shout.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes. Yo.
That's good. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm wearing glasses now, you know. I've got to watch so don't crush me glasses when I adopt a farting position. You know, good. Well, banisters, it's a bit restrictive there. Can't get me legs splayed because of the banister.
Lord.
Right, we're ready. What are we doing?
Song.
Any ideas?
Choice.
I do remember. Well, Do Run Run's a great one.
Okay. I'll go for. Hang on. I'll just give you a bit of. We'll just do a bit more time then, wasn't it? Let me try this, Drew. I'll just try this. Okay.
Do you want us to play the music?
Okay. I've got any music.
Ronnie Spector would be proud.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That was
wow.
Fun.
Holy
I'm glad you called, you know, because the last couple of occasions you called me and I've not been warmed up. And I've struggled a bit, but I've been doing some special farting exercises for the sphincter muscles.
No, you've lost.
And they seem to be working.
Mr. Methane, you
I
have...
I was totally unprepared. You called me...
Your pants up. Yeah, no, you've lost nothing. Mr. Methane, we got to run, but thank you so much. That was fabulous, and I hope you can find something out.
Remind me where this place is again, this farting competition.
It's Surat in India. Surat, India, September 22.
Methane, it's not worth your time. I looked up the prize, and the exchange rate of the prize for you would be 168 pounds, and that's it.
What?
So it's not worth
that's
it.
That's why they've not invited me, you know? I can't believe, do you know, that sort of money, and yet... India, you think India's a poor country, and we send foreign aid to India still. Yeah, it has a space program.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? God,
we're
firing into space at that sort of exchange rate. You know?
Well, Paul, we're up against the break, so I got to let you go, but thank you so much again.
No problem, guys.
It's always great to talk.
Trudy, Sean and
Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon Zooves.
Brandon. That's it. Have a good. I might not speak to you before Halloween, so have a good Halloween.
Thank you, Mr. Methane.
Great to hear from you.
Have a great night. See you.
I'm just gonna have some cheese sandwiches and a cup of tea before bed.
Sounds good. I'm jealous.
with a bit of pickle. See you later.
See you, Paul.
Bye.
Bye.
Why is everything he says funny?
I know. His mind goes a million miles an hour.
I swear, the anticipation in the setup of the fart is almost as good as the actual fart.
I know, he's so intense.
I can see, though, why he needs to do it in a secluded place. Because
thank God his sister wasn't there.
Screaming.
Where do those stairs go? Is it just his place? Or is he just...
I don't know.
I picture an apartment building, someone coming to use the stairs, opening, hearing that, and just deciding to take the elevator, the lift instead.
His personal life has always been a little mysterious. And he did meet that girl over here.
Yeah.
She was so interested in him. She was into him. She was digging
him.
What? Yeah, I don't know.
Wow.
A lot of space, though.
A lot of distance.
I kind of hate the way that women are always portrayed as being disgusted by farting because, he said in the little interchange that set up his bit on that reward show, the woman walks off in disgust,
That's sexist.
Why wouldn't we love farting as much as men? It seems like it's all so entertaining.
We love
probably scripted that she walked off.
I know.
She didn't want to be associated with the farts.
Though.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of sexist.
After all, one of the best farters ever was a female.
Was that?
I'm trying to pull it up.
Oh, Miss Mina?
Yeah,
it's taking
forever. She's good.
Man, hers are...
She has the advantage of the tight red pants.
See how tight they are?
You know what? It sounds like it's going through spandex, too.
It does.
This is not the kind of stuff that would fly on WJR.
I know.
You're almost proving that guy right.
No, the WJR point is being completely made, thoroughly made.
Oh!
The fact that the show is not being altered one iota to make a point.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, that was great.
Oh, boy.
I'm so glad he picked up.
I know. God, isn't that funny that he actually has the old-style answering machine where he's listening to the message?
He's honestly such a good guy.
He really is. But, you know, I do wonder what's going on with him because that was the girl that he met over here was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It really was on his mind for a long time.
Yeah,
it seemed like it would be sort of forgotten quickly and he'd just get home and... I don't know. And I asked Barry, was he dating anybody? And he said, I never know what he's up to.
Yeah.
He just scheduled the dates, and he's fantastic. And he's a really very likable person. He is really.
I don't like mixing Mr. Methane with Paul.
That's true.
I like keeping them separate.
I know. It's kind of like Mr. Skin. I saw him quoted, and somebody used his real name.
Oh, gross.
I know. I almost got sick reading the article. It's terrible.
Well, this is not his real name.
All right, so let's see. What's going on?
There's a bit of breaking news. Do you care?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We haven't talked about the story much. but Saturday Night Live has fired the guy they just hired, Shane Gillis.
They did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they blew him out. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, the guy, I mean, even though Andrew Yang supported him.
Wait, that is the oddest position Andrew Yang has taken yet.
No, I think his dunk was the oddest position.
Oh.
The dunk on the 6-foot rim. That
crowd surfing was weird, too.
Well, dancing and crying.
Giving out $1,000 for 10 people?
What's that?
That was kind of cool. Andrew Yang giving out 1,000 people.
It's a gimmick, though. He's hurting himself.
I know.
But, one of the jokes he made, this Shane Gillis, was about Andrew Yang. And Andrew Yang's like, look. I'm not a fan of the joke. I don't think he should be fired, though. It's okay. So if the guy that's, he didn't have a problem. But it goes further than just that one joke. I mean, you listened to the podcast, right?
Yeah, I did. And I thought it sounded to me like he and the other guy were trying to be kind of shocking and just sort of letting it all hang out. I wasn't really sure why SNL hired him because I don't know what he's done that's so good or funny or what good sample of his work is. But you know, they made a big to-do out of the fact that they hired an open... I didn't realize that Bowen Yang was openly gay, but he's their first Asian-American cast member. Huh. He's also openly gay. And honestly, I could care less. I mean, I just want funny people on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. I don't care what they look like. I don't care if they're men, women, or whatever. But they also added two other people, one of whom was immediately called out for this podcast, which is called Somebody and Somebody's Secret Podcast.
Yes, yeah, it
didn't sound like it was something that a lot of people were aware of or listened to.
Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast.
And it seemed that Shane Gillis, the guy that got the SNL job, it just seemed like they were just letting it all hang out, and they were being very sloppy. I think if he knew he was about to be hired at Saturday Night Live in another year, he probably would have been more cautious about what he was saying because he used the word chink. And I thought some of the other stuff was just kind of gratuitous ethnic humor. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was terribly funny, to be honest. But I'm surprised that SNL fired him because I think, and I'm noticing this a lot with the Bill Burr Netflix special and the Dave Chappelle Netflix special, that a lot of people are really out there saying, thank you, Netflix, for putting that out there, because they're both of the specials are the kind of things that would draw just incredible scrutiny from the whole PC comedy world.
Yeah.
And Netflix just said, hey, this is funny. We're throwing it out there. And even though the critics... By the way, what have the critics given Bill Burr? Because he's got some stuff on there, too.
That's a great question, yeah.
He goes on about Stephen Hawking, how he's glad he's dead.
Yeah. That's a really good segment.
And then he would like to take the brake off his wheelchair and push him because he just thought he was so smug and, you know.
Way bigger than Chappelle's in terms of the critics. Critics, remember, the Chappelle is up to like 30-something percent.
38, I think.
Bill Burr is at 86 with the... With the critics and 97 with the audience.
Wow.
So he's just lower with the critics. But
which one did you like better?
I liked Chappelle.
I haven't watched the whole Bill Burr, but every bit that I've seen has been hilarious. It looks really funny.
Better too.
But I loved the Bill Burr one. I did.
I loved them both.
I will be surprised if I like the Bill Burr one better, but every piece I've seen of it has been really funny because there's a lot of it online. So I've been watching it in little chunks, and now I got to watch the whole thing.
It's really good, but I do think I like Chappelle's better.
I like them, but they're both great.
The real question was Tom bored by Bill Burr's?
I know someone sent me the Bill Burr on Stephen Hawking thing today in an email, and I watched it and I laughed. And of course, there were a lot of comments underneath, and most of them were, you know, they thought it was hilarious. But there
it's
were those
cool, I can take a joke.
and a lot of people, too, were saying that they were concerned that, you know, is he going to get pounded for this?
He doesn't care.
I know he doesn't.
Well, neither Chappelle.
But here, you know, that's why I guess it's a little unnerving to me, you know, at least from a just I don't
DC
know how.
DC bullshit.
Yeah. Thank you, Hawk. I don't know how good I feel about SNL firing a guy they just hired. Because of some and I did think the guy was kind of sloppy.
Just the Asian stuff, too. A lot of other stuff came out, a lot of gay slurs.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, Chappelle just said that.
If you do anything wrong in your life, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care what I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're fucking finished.
Exactly what that Seth Simon guy did with this new cast member.
One guy pointed out, I guess there is a Reddit for that podcast that he did.
Oh, there is.
And a lot of, I don't know if they were gay, so a lot of slurs were actually targeting current SNL writers. Oops! Ooh. Before he got hired there. So, you know, there might be that little issue, too.
Well, there's the issue of it being affiliated with NBC. It's true. NBC. Versus Bill Burr having that star status and Dave Chappelle having their status of their own. NBC is going to slow down all kinds of...
You want to hear how he responded to getting blown out by SNL?
Yes.
Feels ridiculous for comedians to be making serious public statements, but here we are. I'm a comedian who was funny enough to get on SNL. That cannot be taken away. Of course, I want an opportunity to prove myself at SNL, but I understood it would be too much of a distraction. I respect the decision they made. I'm honestly grateful for the opportunity. I was always a Mad TV guy anyway.
Whoa.
I know, it's really good.
Really? If he was a Mad TV guy, then I don't think he was that funny.
I never liked Mad TV.
It was okay.
Either.
It wasn't as good.
People from Mad TV that are funny, though.
There were.
Like Caliendo. Definitely. Yeah.
Will Sasso.
Sasso?
Who the hell's Will Sasso?
I guess Will Sasso.
What's her name?
Oh, he the bald guy.
From The Family Guy? She was on it?
Oh, she was?
Yeah. She played the girl or... that, yeah. He looking like a man.
Yeah. Who the hell is she?
I guess what I'm saying is I would have liked Saturday Night Live to ignore this and just say, listen, we thought he was funny enough to be on the show. You know, this kind of behavior won't be accepted on SNL. Mm-hmm. But we think he's going to be a big addition to the show. That would have been really cool if they had done that.
Except they've always bowed to pressure from the Twitter world and the complaints.
They always have. I tell you, the SNL comedy standard has gotten very complicated, in my opinion. And the first week the Weinstein thing came out, and I was like, wow, no Harvey Weinstein jokes. That's kind of weird. Not even in the update. And Lauren said, oh, it's a New York thing. And then it wasn't a New York thing. It was a huge thing. It was a monster thing.
But if you're SNL, I mean, you're not going to – I don't think Shane Gillis is the guy you're going to die on.
No, I guess not.
Now, if they had somebody hosting –
But that's a shame that they – that I mean,
no,
in a way, it's a shame. But I don't know. I don't really know the full – I mean, if this guy –
I don't
has
know why he was hired.
If he has a scroll of horrible things.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, I thought the podcast thing was really sloppy. I really did. I felt like – this doesn't seem like a guy who's worried about his career, because when you're coming along, you really want people to just highlight the funny things you do. And if you're doing something
impossible
edgy,
now,
it better be fucking funny.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that funny. So I don't know.
I mean, you've broadcasted for a lot of years. You don't throw stuff like this out. You know what I mean?
No.
It's kind of weird about it, because he's like, I'm just trying to throw stuff against the wall and see what works.
It seems a little amateurish.
Yeah, it's not something you can probably do and expect it not to come back and haunt you at some point.
Yeah.
Although I do see people, you know, younger people doing stuff on social media where you go, oh, boy, that's probably not a great idea. You know, because it's – but then I see – God, there was somebody recently who got a job, and I knew they had some really sort of rando stuff on social media that probably wasn't good, and I was joking – boy, I guess nobody's checking your social media. And the response was, yeah, I guess not. Because I said, did you clean it up? No.
Oh, boy.
So, uh-oh. I don't know. I thought any new hire, I thought people were looking into that.
It just depends, though.
Because some people just aren't aware.
I mean, he wasn't running for president.
We had somebody that we were working
matter.
With in at an old radio station where
we did.
They came in and just out of shits and giggles and funnies, hey, let's Google your name and see what pops up. And you find these videos of freestyle rapping.
There are a lot of N-words.
A lot of N-words. A lot of things you're not allowed to say. And we just...
Was this a white dude?
It was a white dude, and we
I'll
panicked.
Write it down.
We panicked. We said, dude, if you're going to be associated with us at all, you need to remove this. Well, I didn't upload it. A friend did. Contact him now and have him take him down.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, but yeah. I contacted him, and he said he doesn't remember his password for YouTube. Figure it out. Get that shit off the internet now.
But see, this one's a little different because he didn't. Yeah, he shouldn't be using that word, but he didn't. Wasn't malicious in using it. It wasn't.
No.
Directed anybody. You're right. It would have hurt any career going
he,
forward.
No, he was sloppy. I know what you're talking about. He was sloppy.
But wait a minute. Why do you need to have a video of yourself rapping anyway? That's kind of. Wouldn't you be.
I know.
A lot of people have freestyle.
I'd be horrified.
People are dumb.
I'd be like, oh my God, please take that down of me. If I were that person.
You know, it's funny, talking about the Kavanaugh thing today, and Elon and I just briefly were talking about, you know, all the stuff he did in college, you know, if it was on video or it was available to be looked at.
Did you push? I never pushed a P9 into someone's hand.
I'm sure there's stuff that, you know, if I was running for office and somebody really hated my stand on something.
Drew went to Mr. Foo's expecting to see tits. So they'd bring up Mr. Foo's. Then Mr. Foo would be on CNN talking about it.
Well, I did recall one dumb thing where we were skinny dipping in a pool. And I know, and I did not remember this part.
Dude,
somebody recently reminded me of it. There was a an underwater backgammon game going on.
Oh. What?
Yeah, there was an underwater backgammon marathon going on.
And somebody's trying to make a move, and suddenly there are a bunch of peni in the water.
There were a couple of peni in the water, yeah. And one of the one of the players was female. So, I mean, it was a total accident.
Did it blow her game?
I don't know. I think she laughed, honestly. Because nobody
it was consensual.
I mean, there wasn't any Kavanaughing. I mean, nobody was pushing anything
tea bags under her head.
There was no swatting.
No speed bag.
An underwater backgammon game?
I know. It's a weird story.
Whoa.
I'm sure I'm telling
you. Did you know
properly.
It was going on at the time?
No. I did. Well,
I guess they were underwater.
We were very bummed.
How would you know? You wouldn't see
it. It's such a stupid story. But, I mean, there's so many dumb things that happened. But back then, nothing was ever landed anywhere.
I'm looking. You know, there's a underwater backgammon world championship.
No, wow.
I also knew there was a guy I played.
Nerdy.
Great game.
There was a guy I played baseball with who used to drop trout parties all the time, all the time. It was like it was part of the party. Was when is he going to drop trout? And it always happened. And sometimes he would just disappear into a back room or something, and he would just come out nude. And there'd be like 50 people at the party just sitting there drinking. And it's like, oh, Dennis is nude again.
Well, that just sounds consensual. I mean, you're at the party; it's to be expected that Dennis was going to show up nude.
Well, at some point, yeah. Once he got hammered enough, it's crazy.
Dennis
the nude.
Dennis the nude partier.
Oh boy.
Yeah, boy.
All right, get us out of here, Brandon.
I wonder if he still does that.
It's his mode.
I don't know.
Neighborhood parties. It's not as fun as it used to.
He used to pull a lot of chicks, too. Chicks loved
this
guy.
Yeah, they knew what they were getting.
He was an edgy dude.
There's no surprise. There's no pretense with Dennis.
No. He became a firefighter.
Oh. Wow, that squares.
I mean, he's a blast at the firehouse.
That makes sense.
Oh, top trending.
Shane Gillis is out at Saturday Night Live. What? That's such a weird story. This story lasted, what, 4 days, three days? And nobody will remember it within a week. And then SNL will start and be like, oh, yeah, that's right. They're supposed to have that one guy. And then no one will think about it ever again.
I wonder what his career will end up being. Probably a big zero, right?
Well, yeah. Who's going to touch him now? He's gonna do that podcast, apparently.
Well, he is the guy that lost the job at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I guess he also said some stuff about Judd Apatow, ripping on Judd Apatow. So.
Why was he ripping Judd Apatow?
Is that
I don't know. He called him, what did he say? It was a gay slur towards Apatow.
Wait, you hear it is. Hold on.
Or maybe Mad TV can come back.
Another.
He's all set there.
He'd love it there.
He's dragging Mad TV into it.
Another episode found Gillis referring to Judd Apatow and Chris Gethard as white faggot comics, calling them fucking gayer than ISIS. As if that wasn't bad enough, Gillis made these racist, homophobic comments. And then they mentioned the openly gay Asian American. Yeah, I mean that's just stupid. That's not funny though. That's what I mean. If you're gonna push it,
funny.
You gotta be funny.
It's most offensive. They're not funny.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Dweller H. Larry Bird is here. I mean, Nikki Glaser is here. You know, the only difference between Larry Bird and Nikki Glaser is Larry could actually pass as 33.
That's entertaining.
You know, Nikki was the only girl kicked off Jeffrey Epstein's island for networking. Caroline Ray from Sabrina is here. Give it up. But Caroline, if you're here, that means Salem the Cat must have turned this down, huh? Sorry, Mr. De Niro. We know how much you love that black pussy. Nice to meet you, by the way. Big fan. Speaking of Chris Redd, Caitlyn Jenner is here. I'm sorry. Like Caitlyn, my transitions are really awkward. Caitlyn completed her gender reassignment in 2017, finally confirming that no one in that family wants a white dick.
Oh. pussy is so young.
How young is it?
Alec just called it a rude, thoughtless little pig. And now, the man of the hour, Mr. Alec Baldwin. Alec, I can tell you're from New York, because just like the Knicks, you've somehow gotten worse every year since the 90s. You know, Alec kind of looks like a team owner that saves money by massaging the players himself. And I played for Donald Sterling, so... You might think Alec's had an easy life, but he's had hardships. He once had someone take his parking spot. Another time, a flight attendant asked him to turn his phone off before takeoff. And according to Alec's reactions, those are the two worst things to ever happen to him.
This is pretty freaking low.